All right, let's begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ready? Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm. Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
We hope you have a good time. We hope you enjoy yourselves, and I thank you all for coming. And, what do I do now? What? Oh, yes, that's it. Oh, for God's sakes, I'm sorry. Please watch this. I didn't know that, for crying out loud.
Let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
The cast is taking its final bow. Here comes the audience now. The doors are open, they're on their way. Let's hear what they have to say.
And now.
You know why I put you over?
No. Why did you pull me over?
Because I just want to say hi.
Our feature presentation.
Come on, retarded policeman.
The best.
He's the best. He's the best. If you haven't seen that yet, you got to go to krock.com, the Kevin Amin page, Internet Roundup. And there are a bunch of links there, 13 episodes of The Retarded Policeman.
And more to come.
And you have to watch the tasing one. That kills me.
Okay.
That is funny. How close did you cut it today?
Oh, pretty close.
As close as he ever does, though. We were just, Mike and I were just talking. You know, it's, I don't know, a minute before the show starts and you're not here. And
yeah.
We're not even a bit worried anymore. You have it down to an exact, it's an amazing, I would love to see your process.
I could have run in from the parking lot and gotten here a little bit sooner, but Alex was out there and she was telling me that one of the cats has been retired.
Yeah.
And Lisa put a cone by it so no one would hit it, apparently.
Yeah.
After she...
You mean there's a dead cat in the parking lot?
Yeah.
After Lisa ran over it, she put a cone there.
I didn't run over it. It was cold and stiff when I came in. That's what she said.
We have
sort of.
we have a bunch of cats out there, and just the people who are in charge of taking care of them, Scott Mason mainly, are doing a horrible job.
Well, I think he's made progress. He got a bunch of them fixed, and the ones who weren't, he supposedly took to someone's house.
And then ran the rest of them over with a car.
But the ones that are fixed now have a beautiful life living in our parking lot.
Well, it's that or death. And apparently one of them chose death.
I think it would.
It was a kitty, too.
I think it would.
Yeah, it was a kitten.
They're jumping around in front of cars. Sometimes they don't even care. Just like, what? Run me over. I can't live here anymore. It's kind of sad.
It is sad.
The whole situation is sad.
Did Lisa hit it with her car or did she use a BB gun? What happened?
Yeah, that's me.
At least he got out with a BB gun.
Maybe lightning was out hunting last night.
He got out with a slingshot. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it's a great way to start your morning.
Yeah.
And here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why death and living in our parking lot are the only two options.
Well, they're not really in the parking lot. They're in the field behind the parking lot. So I assume there's mice
that,
and stuff.
When
that
you
they
say
can
that,
eat.
You mean in the parking lot?
No.
I mean, I know that they... Here's what they did. Here's
what
Scott did.
They wander in and out, but they're in the field. No?
Okay.
You don't think so?
Well, I think a few of them... Here, Scott's idea was, and he's the operations manager here, he's the guy who used to feed them in the parking lot irregularly, which is also good.
Right.
Is to just move their food a little further out in the middle of the field.
So we don't see them.
But, yeah, so some of them go out there to eat, but a lot of them are here, and they're not really doing anything about it. And he won't call anyone to pick them up because he thinks they're going to be put down.
Which might be true.
Might. But those two options are the only ones that are acceptable, and I don't get that. It seems like we could find somebody who wouldn't put them down.
I agree. I don't think he's working hard enough on
this. I don't
think
he's started working on it. I think he just thinks in his head, well, what's going to happen? Okay, well, I don't want that to happen, so I want him to live out there in the parking lot where they get no human contact and no fun.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it take 5 seconds for somebody to Google search a no-kill shelter?
You certainly would think so.
Unless they don't take feral animals. Maybe that's the hang-up.
Well, you can't really adopt them out.
Yeah, that's the problem. What do you do with them?
So you just have to find a place where they can live out their lives because they will never bond to humans. They're not good pets.
Hmm. And putting them down is so despicable.
Yes.
Yeah, not to me.
I know.
It
I
isn't.
Know.
They're cats. They're not having a good life. They're living in our parking lot, avoiding cars, running from people.
Yeah.
How's that fun?
Well, it's not our definition of fun. Maybe they're having a grand old time.
Kitty Lake.
Aww.
That's all I'm saying. There are times when the...
But when the weather turns and stuff, I really feel awful.
Yeah, when it's freezing out there and they're trying to crawl up underneath the engines of the cars
to
and stuff.
To get warm. Yeah, that's...
I mean, there are times when that's the best option.
Yeah.
It sucks ass, but it's probably the best option. So maybe we'll do a little bit of research. Because Scott certainly didn't. They put him in charge, and he was the problem. Scott was the problem to begin with. He was feeding them and, I don't know, caring for them, and they would all come run. He was so excited. He'd say, they all come running when I show up in the morning.
He was the Pied Piper.
It's honestly like a horror movie when he drives into the parking lot. It's unbelievable.
They recognize his car.
And out of the woodworks, dozens of cats come running from all different directions. It's really eerie.
Because one day he will show up without food, and they will
and
think
they will
he
kill
is
him.
The food.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's how we will find his
body. And it
body.
Won't be hard.
Just hair.
Just
the
hair.
A big ball of hair.
So anyway.
Which is appropriate for a cat.
We'll do a little research since he didn't.
I think that's a good idea.
I still like the idea of trapping them and releasing them in his backyard.
That's what I've been saying all along.
He wants the feral cats. Let him have the feral cats in his backyard.
He goes out of town a lot, you guys.
He does.
I don't see why you don't do that.
Well, it's the misses,
right?
Is why
the neighbors
they won't stay in the yard.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so we're really just releasing them in a neighborhood.
So basically,
is that better?
No, we're just shuttling them from one bad to another bad.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Nope. What we want to do is get the guts to do what needs to be done. Put them down.
No.
Right.
We want to find a place.
Right.
That
find
will
a place
keep them
that will keep them
and not put them down.
That's what I meant.
Yes, that's what we would. That's the ideal situation.
Okay.
Okay.
It is Tuesday morning, everybody. It's the 22nd of Do You Like It in the Ass?
Hey, let's probe Uranus.
How's everybody doing? Lisa, not so good, Beef?
After that.
Well, it's an upper to start, I'll tell you that.
It is.
I do appreciate the hilarity of this program.
That is the way to do it, is you start by talking about the dead cats, and then everything goes uphill from there.
Okay.
And Kevin's complaint is that not enough of them are dead.
Oh, sad about the one, but let's go ahead and kill the rest of them.
I'm saying sometimes the humane thing to do is to put them down, however difficult that sounds. And I'm not a big fan of people who don't use that as an option just because it's personally distasteful to them. Maybe it's the best
for the cat. I agree if they're in pain or something like that. But these cats are pretty healthy.
Yep,
I mean,
that one in the parking lot is.
Well, I think someone hit it.
Really? What a surprise.
But that happens all the time on every street in this town. Someone's hitting
a cat. They live where cars go. That's where they live. That can't be good. How can you think that's better?
But I mean, all cats live where cars go unless people keep them in their house all the time.
Right, which most people do.
Yeah, not enough.
You can't solve every animal problem. I'm saying the animals in our parking lot are just praying for sweet death, and you people are standing in the way.
I think we're talking to Bean about how he is today. How are you today, Bean?
Well, to tell you the truth, I made a mistake of volunteering to read some of Nick's screenplay last night.
Weren't you going to read 300 pages or something?
No, God, no.
You said you would.
Didn't he?
Oh, there's no way. It's not. I mean, I'm not going to live long enough to read all of it. No one's read all of it. Nick can't possibly have read all of it. I mean, I read for hours and I must have gotten, I don't know. I don't even know. It's, the pages aren't numbered, so I have no idea how long I got into it. But it seemed like it took most of the day yesterday, the part that I did read. But and then I didn't start till late in the day, and then Nick sent it. Nick is the K-Rock listener, the sign holder that we talked to on the show, and he's written a screenplay, and he's been promising it to us for over a year, and he finally delivered it this past week. And he sent it in some funky format I couldn't even open. Then I had to text Dave and have Dave figure out a way to convert it for me and send it back so then I could finally start reading it. And I was going to Batman last night, so I started late, and then I had pretty limited time to read, so I'm just devouring it as quickly as I can. And it's troubling.
Are you telling me that you went to a hack movie like Batman instead of reading Nick's 300-page screenplay?
I am embarrassed to admit that I did make that poor choice. Yes, I did. But now, you know me, I generally like to prepare pretty well for what we're doing.
Sure.
And now I feel bad that I haven't finished it. But then I look at my life and realize I have so few years left that there's no way I could finish it anyway.
Well,
so I shouldn't feel bad.
He'll have to. We'll get him on the phone. And he'll have to tell you about what you didn't read.
I guess. Has anyone else read any of it? I know Alex looked at a little bit of it. Have any of you guys seen any of it?
Yeah.
How many pages?
The day after he sent it to you guys, he sent it to Dave and I saying, hey, well, if you guys have an opportunity, go ahead and thumb through it.
And?
I probably got 4 pages.
Four?
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to help me. I thought maybe somebody has read parts I haven't.
I mean, Bean's right. I tried. It's that he really crams a lot of words onto a page. I mean, I don't know how to...
Just like his emails.
I mean, yeah.
They're endless. He's
long-winded.
He goes out of his way to describe things.
It's a pretty talky movie, I think, is what we're saying. The reason it's 300 pages is because everyone's talking every minute they're awake all the time, always.
But does he realize that the average script is 100 to 120 pages? Like, that's, you know, if it's over 120, it's considered rather long, probably needs to be pared down. His is 300 pages.
You're thinking he's done any research
on
screenplays?
How hard is it to find out how long screenplays are?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to write a movie like every other crappy movie that's out there. Maybe he wants to write his own kind of crappy movie.
Okay.
He's well on his way.
I don't know.
But anyway, he's doing a good job.
We'll talk to Nick next hour and find out where he's coming from, find out what his plans are, how his screenplay is being received elsewhere, and maybe read a little bit of the screenplay. Maybe present a couple of scenes for you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Also, on today's show, we have Janelle, our super hot ex-receptionist. Who just took a trip with her friend to Mexico, and apparently there was Paco in the bushes looking through the windows.
Did somebody order Mexican?
And I'd just like to say Paco scored.
No kidding.
That was a good score right there.
Well done.
I would live in Mexico. Here's how hot Janelle is. I would live in Mexico on the chance that she would visit again.
She might not come back down for a year, but it would be worth it for you?
It'd be worth it, exactly.
Also on the show today, we have the creator of Robot Chicken, Seth Green.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Coming in studio to talk about Robot Chicken Star Wars, out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. People who dress up themselves for their dogs. An odd choice.
Yeah.
I don't know who would do something like that.
And has a blog.
Ooh, you're narrowing it down now.
now you're just talking indefensible.
Named Bean.
Oh.
Plus the new internet roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, don't forget, all week long, we are giving you tickets. We have free tickets to see Project Revolution, Radiohead, Jack Johnson, Beck, Nine Inch Nails, The Wreck and Tours, and The Warp Tour. Keep listening to win your tickets to those. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Show.
We told you we're hooking you up with tickets to all the great K-Rock summer shows, including Nine Inch Nails, Warp Tour, Radiohead, Rock and Tours, Project Revolution. How about Beck tickets for you between 6 and 7 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock? It's 5:48 now, Tuesday morning. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What a Ralph.
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, how about some tickets?
Yes.
I've got special tickets to a special advanced K-Rock screening of a movie people are very much looking forward to see. A little comedy called Step Brothers, starring two of the funniest people on the planet, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
I've seen that trailer now about 5 times, and every time I stop what I'm doing and watch specifically because it makes me laugh. The same things make me laugh again and again.
I just said the same thing to my wife who's watching. I said, every time he does that, I laugh. There's one thing, he's holding a bowl of cereal and he goes, ah! It just makes like a noise, and I start laughing. I don't even know what the scene's about. But he was on Letterman last night and was very funny, Will was, and did some showed some more clips. I'm just really looking forward to this film. You can see it before anybody else if you come to the special K-Rock screening, which is Thursday night at the Arclight Hollywood, an excellent place to see a movie. Got a pair of tickets to give away right now. A little trivia question. The last time John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell together was in a movie called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
True.
That is true. If you're a fan of that show, then you'll know the answer to this trivia question. What were the names of Ricky Bobby's two sons? If you know the answer to that question, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller through with the correct answer will win a pair of tickets to the advanced K-Rock screening of Step Brothers.
This is one of his kids.
Oh, yeah,
that was... Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
It's one of his kids.
It is. You need the names of those kids. Well, I guess Christian Bale's not the best Batman after all.
What happened?
All I know is that Adam West was never arrested for beating up his mother.
What?
Yeah,
happened?
That's right. Adam West never hit his mom. You know why? Good son. Not Christian Bale.
What happened?
He was arrested for assaulting his mom and his sister Sunday, the night before the London premiere of The Dark Knight. Well, I guess you are The Dark Knight, aren't you? Mom and sister beater.
Did they threaten to expose his identity as Bruce Wayne? I mean, could that have been it?
Yes, that could have been it, Bean. Bale was taken into custody late in the morning today at a police precinct in central London and is currently talking to the police.
Wow.
Now, I heard, details are very few and far between on this story, but I heard that the mom and the sister went to the police station to tell them what happened. It's not like it was an incident and the police were called and came and arrested them or something like that. They went and basically turned in their boy.
Well, I guess if you got beat up, you'd go to the police too.
I think most people probably wouldn't if it was an inter-family squabble. Don't you? I mean, can you imagine?
Well, is that how you hope Donna reacts?
It depends on what happens.
Every time you take a swipe at her?
It depends on what happens, yeah.
You give her the five-finger correction? It's inter-family, Donna. Don't go to the police. Don't tell the police that I beat you.
But what are the chances that you and your mom would get into something, and then your mom, after the fact, would drive down to the police station and call them to come arrest you, Ralph? What are the chances of that happening?
I guess it depends on how hard I've hit her and how many times before I've hit her.
Yeah, that's not a good story.
And maybe why? I mean, maybe there's something going on with him drug-wise or something, and they're hoping this will actually get him help that they can't get him to do himself.
So you're leaping from mom abuser to drug abuser. That's where you're going, Lisa?
Something caused it.
Isn't it bad enough you kill kittens? Do you have to attack our favorite actor?
I'm giving him an opening. I don't think that's as
That's what she said!
I bet you'd like to give him an opening.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
We would answer my trivia question?
We do. We have Adrian in Granada Hills. Good morning.
Adrian?
Good morning.
You fan of Talladega Nights?
Yes, I am.
What was the name of Ricky Bobby's kids? You sound like you're from Talladega Nights.
Walker and Texas Ranger.
My son's Walker and Texas Ranger. That's right.
Yes.
Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, but you're going to the advanced K-Rock screening of Step Brothers.
Thank you.
The movie, of course, opens on Friday, but you get to see it before anybody else. Well, it's official, people. In shocking news today, People Magazine has broken the story that Balthazar Getty is leaving his wife, Rosetta.
No one saw that coming.
No one could have possibly imagined that when Balthazar Getty was making out with a topless and sometimes nude Sienna Miller all over Europe.
You are a murderer of love!
That is true.
Balthazar has 4 children with his wife, Rosetta.
They'll be fine.
The youngest of which is 10 months.
Oh, God!
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Put them down, right, Kevin?
Wow, yeah.
Put those kids down.
Puppy leg.
For the record, Balthazar is 33 years old, and Sienna Miller is hotter than train smoke. And 26.
And this will last, too, is my prediction.
Who cares? If I'm Balthazar Getty, I'm just like, if it lasts 4 minutes, so be it. She's 26 and ridiculous. Yeah.
The judge should take heat into consideration.
Walks around naked in a captain's hat. It's like some twisted, awesome fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a dream.
Yeah. You want a date with Miley Cyrus?
Nope.
How old is she?
Psycho Mike actually moaned. He had so many ideas for comedy at that point. She is, 12, 13, 11, 9, whatever she is.
What was your question?
Would you like a date with Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
All right, easy. Could be yours if the price is right. She started her own charity called the Pappy Cyrus Foundation.
Who's Pappy Cyrus?
I'm guessing Pappy's probably your grandfather.
Thank God.
That's what they call him down there. Pappy. And she is planning to auction off lots of Miley Cyrus goodies to raise some cash.
Thank God.
You can bid on clothing she wore. To the premiere of High School Musical 2. You also can bid on clothing that she wore to Teen Vogue Young Hollywood Party.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
And you can be her date at the upcoming movie premiere, Bolt. You can escort her to that movie premiere.
Wow.
So Bolt. If you're so inclined to spend the evening with Miley Cyrus, log on to her website via eBay. And
check that out.
Yeah, and you can bid on a date with Miley Cyrus.
Someone young, sounds excited about the prospect.
Young 15-year-old Miley Cyrus.
Giddy up.
Lance, sorry, Bean. Sound like you were going somewhere.
No, not a thing.
Taking that giant Darth Vader breath of yours. I thought maybe there was something coming. Lance Bass has another hot new boyfriend, but sadly, no one told his wife.
He has a wife?
Not Lance Bass's wife, the boyfriend's wife.
Oh.
New York Post reports that Sebastian Lille is Lance's new beau.
You're so gay.
But Sebastian turns out to be married to a lady named Jessica Gannon. Apparently they did separate 3 years ago, but never bothered to get divorced, and no one knows what Jessica thinks about her still husband. dating Lance Bass at NSYNC.
Is it better that they leave you for a dude? Because you didn't have any say over it then? Or
guessing they split because he likes dudes.
Could be.
And they just haven't gotten the papers
done. I'm just saying, from a girl point of view,
Yes.
It's better
than
another woman.
Yeah.
It's because there's nothing you could have done.
Right.
No.
To keep him around, even if you wanted to.
And, you know, he liked sitting with you and watching Dallas or whatever you did. So it was understandable why you guys were, you know, together for some time.
Still busting out the Dallas references, are we?
Yeah. It's good.
Whatever.
Nice fella. I wonder if he's gay.
Mike Myers may be a little flimsy.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a thing for Justin Timberlake. He said in an interview with AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, that Justin is the most charming and talented human being on the planet.
And nice fella. I wonder if he's gay.
And admits that he has a crush on him.
Ooh.
That's a little flimsy.
Yeah.
But after the success of Love Guru, you can see why he's so enamored with Justin, because they've had such amazing box office success together.
Man, that movie was bad.
Why would you go?
Oh.
Why would you go?
That was bad. It's not good.
We all knew that. Without having gone, we knew that. You're the only guy who didn't see that train coming on the track. You're still putting the penny down on the track, waiting to get it flattened by the tires, and you're not looking up when you hear the whistles and see the light.
Are we still talking about...
We're talking about trains now.
I'm out.
And this is a great story. Brooke Hogan.
Yeah.
Says that she would never run for office.
Well,
what?
Who am I going to vote for then?
I don't know. We're all screwed.
I was counting on her.
Brooke Hogan says she will not go into politics.
Okay.
This comes on a stemming on a conversation. Someone asked her what she thought about Hillary Clinton running for president.
Yeah.
First of all, who's asking Brooke Hogan what she thinks about Hillary Clinton?
About anything.
Right. She said that she thought it was crazy that a woman was running for president. And this is her quote. Because women deal with emotions, menopause, PMS, and stuff.
Oh, no.
A guy would get lynched for saying that.
Brooke says,
I'll lynch her.
I'm so moody, I'd never be able to run a country.
Well, we don't want her to run.
She's just a brat.
Well, I don't know. She's got the Hulkster on her corner, you know?
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Oh, did you see American Gladiator last night?
No.
Oh, they brought out the Beast. They finally released the Beast.
Who's the Beast?
The Beast.
What is the Beast?
He's the newest, biggest gladiator.
Bigger than anyone else?
7 feet tall, over 300 pounds, this guy.
Wow.
Jeez.
The Beast. They had him doing the joust where they got those sticks, you know, the giant Q-tips.
Sure.
And this guy was up against him, was maybe, I don't know, 5'7", you know, buck 75. Bump! Just whap! The guy flew right off the pedestal, right in the water. It was awesome.
That's funny.
We gotta have the Beast on. And Wolf. Can we get Wolf on too?
Wolf and the Beast.
Arr, guy who
only if Dave
all
interviews
the
them.
The Wolf.
The Wolf.
It's so funny when Dave was telling me that Christian Bale was busted by the police for beating his mom. I swore it was Christian Bale. I thought Christian Bale was.
Oh, no way. No way.
Oh, Christian Bale is arrested.
What?
They are the same for Dave. Christian Bale is arrested. It's like, honey, what happened to her? No, Christian Bale.
Batman.
Oh, you mean Christian Bale. Yeah, that's what I said. Christian Bale.
And then he gets indignant. That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. It's very funny. Take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? John Leguizamo. He is 44 years old today. Actor, comedian David Spade also turns 44. Willem Dafoe. How good's Willem Dafoe?
He's good.
He's good in everything he does. Great actor, 53 years old today. Actor, comedian, director, guy I've missed for some time. Albert Brooks. I don't know where he's at or where his next film is. But
he's on Weeds.
He's
on
Weeds.
He did 4 episodes on Weeds this year.
Yeah, but that's not making movies.
No.
No, it's not.
I miss him as a writer, director. Some of my favorite films.
He's one of the funniest guys in the world.
61 years old today, as is Danny Glover, of course, from Lethal Weapon. Don Henley also turned 61. And game show host Alex Trebek, who is 68.
He is?
68 years old today.
He's pretty good looking.
68. Great. Wow.
He has easy work, so maybe that has something to do with it.
He sleeps a lot.
He has the life, honestly. Out of anyone in the whole world, he has the life.
He works for like 2 months, right?
Yeah, they go in, they knock out 5 shows a day. He films an entire year's worth of shows in a few weeks, and then, I don't know.
He's off.
Goes bangs hookers or something.
Yeah, he has a ranch in Paso Robles, California. And it's got a horse racing track where actual...
All right, okay, hold timeout. How do you know so much about the private life of Alex Trebek?
That's a great question.
My family is in the wine business. It has a vineyard in Paso Robles, and like 2 ranches down is Alex Trebek. And I didn't know that. Every time I drive by this place, I said, whose palace is that? And finally we found out it's Alex Trebek. He has a horse racing track. and big, huge fountains. Dude lands his private jet on his ranch, goes back and forth to L.A.
Nice.
The dopest life in the world.
Come on.
When he's not filming,
got a landing
2 days
strip.
A week, he said, I'm going to go back to my ranch up in Northern in Central California. Lands his jet right on there. Boom, I'm home. I'm home.
Wow, he's so much better
than
us.
People are talking about their three-car garage. I've got my jet in the back, in the backyard. Bum.
He wins.
Back.
He does
I guess
win.
The answer is this Canadian game show host has the life.
It does.
Who is Alex Trebek would be the answer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
All right. All right, Nick.
I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight.
All right.
I'm going to get on like motherf***ing
super. Right, Nick.
That's our boy right there. Ladies and gentlemen, K-Rock Lister and our favorite window liquor inside holder, Nick, joins us on the Kevin Amin Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Good morning, Nick.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We are good. How are you?
Wow. Why do you sound so down, Nick?
I don't know. I'm really worried that you guys didn't like it, you know?
Well, first of all, if you're talking about your screenplay, believe me, we haven't read it, so there's no danger of us breaking your heart by not liking it. Well, I mean, we've read the first 300 pages, but how long is this screenplay, Nick?
Probably it'll end up around, it's actually a two-parter, so probably around 400 pages, probably.
Well, wait a minute, is that part one, or is that both parts?
Both parts, okay. Yeah. It's an epic.
Because what you sent us is 300 pages, and it says part one.
Yeah.
Okay, you double that, that's 600.
No, there's a... The whole thing altogether is probably going to end up around 400 pages. I haven't finished the end yet.
Okay.
It's almost done, though.
Almost done. Okay.
If this were to be made as a movie, Nick, how long would that film have to be? I mean, we must be talking Lord of the Rings trilogy length, right?
Yeah. I've been thinking lately that it might be a better idea to make it a graphic novel first. You know, it's kind of like a graphic novel form. And then, if people like it enough, then maybe they'll want to see the whole thing for hours and hours and hours.
I gotcha. Now, one of the reasons I was looking forward to having you on, Nick, is besides the fact that you're a friend of ours and we like helping you out when we can, is that you represent the hopes and dreams of so many other people that are in our audience that want to do what you're trying to do, which is write a screenplay. I mean, it's a really hard thing to do, right?
Oh, yeah. Believe me.
How long did it take you to get to the point where you are now with this screenplay?
I've had the idea for this since high school, but I haven't actually got around to writing it. I think I started writing in 2005, and then basically, I rewrote a lot, and I'm almost done.
You're almost done. Okay.
Yeah.
Hearing Nick answer that question may be one of the problems with his screenplay, by the way, is that Nick takes 1,000 words to have the simplest conversation.
Well, here's what I don't understand, Nick, and this might relate to that. Is the girl that's the lead in the movie pretty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could
really
you,
pretty.
Is it possible that you could have used more words to tell us that?
I like details, man. I want to take you there.
Right, but she's pretty. She's beautiful. The animals stop. People stop. They all look at her. Now you're pretty much out. We get it. And you go
That's
on for pages.
Well, it makes more sense they actually sit down and commit to it.
The very afternoon Laura came into the world, the sun came out through all those gray clouds.
Oh, my God.
And that's after he spent like a page telling you how pretty she was.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
We get it.
The birds came out and were singing. The flowers were in bloom. It seemed as if this child had come to make the entire world a happier place that day.
Who do you want to see play her, to play Laura in the movie, Nick?
You guys know who Amber Heard is, right?
I had a feeling you were going to say that. That's Nick's current obsession, Amber Heard.
No one who ever saw her forgot her face. Laura was no extraordinary girl. She was blessed with elegance, grace, and her own natural sunshine.
Wow.
Nick, it's...
That's just the first page.
And she also happened to just be simply gorgeous.
Sounds like she's attractive.
Here's my point, Nick. I am relatively sure that we get that she's hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Nick, you have many things going on. I probably read, no joke, I probably read like 50 pages last night before I went to Batman.
Nothing had really happened yet in that 50 pages, but I mean, I had read it. And it seems you have two things going on. You have this sweet, pretty girl with her romantic problems, and then you've got some sort of crime story going on with a gang that's killing people or something like that. Do I have that right?
The horror story is that, you know, they're two, you know, these two, you know, this girl and this, you know, group that's killing people, you know, they collide. And then, you know, things start happening. It just, you know,
How does the beautiful girl collide with the gangs in the forest?
They kill, you know, her mentor and kind of like, you know, the man she loves. They kill the
okay.
man she loves.
Okay. All right.
Here's one of my favorite scenes. This is in a police interrogation scene, 50 or 60 pages in, I guess. And there's this guy who's talking to a guy who has been framed for a murder committed by this organization called the Wrath. Right now, nothing's impossible. This underground cult has made national news and continues to elude the combined forces of the FBI and the NYPD. Does this sound impossible to you? It isn't anymore. What we're learning here about the Wrath is that people, the worst people in our city, are drawn to them. All the serial killers, rapists, all the general scumbags out there, they're drawn to the Wrath. And it would make sense that they are, because someone is protecting them, and now they realize that they are stronger as a whole than as individuals. And it's not only that. And by the way, it keeps going. The Wrath isn't just underworld types only. They're also made up of regular, average people, just like you. Average citizens looking to act out on their forbidden desires. This is one guy talking to another guy in the interrogation
room. That's what he says?
Yes, this is all what the guy is saying to the guy he's interrogating. Their forbidden desires are to be protected from the consequences, all drawn to this group and do unspeakable acts of evil. Now, as it turns out, your friend Lester is one of those people. We linked him to the Wrath. We caught him. He confessed. It goes on and on and on and on.
How'd you come up with the Wrath, Nick?
That's a good evil cult name. Don't you agree?
Yes. They could be, yeah.
I like the Wrath. The Wrath is fine. Nick, do you have any kind of experience or assistance? Did you take any classes? Did you read any books, anything like that, before you sat down to write your screenplay?
I read the books. I've been on this for a while now, and the stuff I wrote in 2005, 2006, I kind of got rid of it. I kind of rewrote it. A lot of stuff you're reading was actually written very recently.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, a lot of it's been rewritten.
Okay, so what's the goal? What are you going to do now that you have this part of the screenplay done?
Well, what do you mean? What's the goal?
I don't know how Hollywood works. Do you try to get meetings in town? Do you shop it around? Are there places you can send it and have it evaluated or read by people who have the potential to do something with it?
Well, I want it sold, and I want to have like a great future. But right now, I'm just concerned about, you know, my end of it. I just need to finish it. You know.
Well, here's what it's like to me, Nick, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but it's like you want to sell me a car and it's in neutral, and you keep revving it, and I keep going. Let's see what it'll do, and then you just keep revving it. And it's still in neutral. And it's not going anywhere. And then you go, all right, it's been 5 minutes. How about let's see what this car can do? And then you rev it some more.
You know, honestly,
you got to take the screenplay and you got to start moving, man. You got to move.
Yeah.
We don't have time. There's nobody that's good.
A lot of things happen in it.
Okay, but listen to me. Nobody is going to read this.
Really?
No, because...
It's too long and there's too much talking, Nick. I mean, look, I understand that you love these characters, but you need to edit them down by half.
Here's the problem, Nick. They don't know you, the people who read scripts, and they read scripts all day long. And
I'm not doing it for them right now. I mean, eventually, yeah, I'm going to think about how do I sell it, but I'm just doing it for myself. Just
okay.
for myself.
Okay, all so right. Do you have the ability to greenlight a movie?
I know.
Why are you sending it to us if you're just doing it for yourself?
Because I wanted it.
You just wanted to finish it.
I want to finish it, yeah.
Look,
finish
here's the thing, Nick.
All right.
We're almost out of time. And I know that's a concept you're unfamiliar with, having read your screenplay. But you know that we like you. You know that we consider you part of the Kevin and Bean family. You're our retarded little brother. You know that, right, Nick?
I like you guys, too.
Okay, so I want you to listen when Kevin tells you and when I add on to in agreement that you need to go back and you need to rework it and you need to edit it drastically. You need to make it shorter. You need to make the scene shorter. You don't need as much talking as you have because a lot of it is repetitive. You need to really whip it into shape so that it moves along.
All right.
And okay. a lot of the places where you take a lot of words to describe something, you just need to pick a simple action that shows it rather than saying all of it. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to write four paragraphs about how hot she is and how the animals stop and look at her and everything. If we see her face and she's beautiful, the animals stop and look, that's taken care of. You don't have to write anything about that.
All right, it's fine. Well, look, overall, do you guys at least see potential for this to work?
I see Rambo.
Remember?
Because remember, missionaries came and they were in the jungle. And
yep, that's true.
But no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think, I don't know.
It's hard to weed through. People are impatient. You have to remember that.
I want smart people reading this.
They're impatient too.
Oh, then you shouldn't have sent it to us, Nick. Come on.
We have the attention span of smart people. We have the attention span of a gnat, Nick. We can't.
But audience.
Yes.
But I'm a very thoughtful guy. You know?
Yeah.
I hold a sign all day, so I have plenty of time to think about all this stuff.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Reel it in, buddy. That's all we're saying. Reel it in, okay?
I just want to finish, and I'll
finish. Okay, just finish it then, and then that'll be good.
All right.
That'll be enough.
Listen, I am going to go back to it and read some more, but we just wanted to give you kind of an early impression of some of the direction you need to be headed, all right?
Yeah, all right.
And cool. We'll call you back March 2009 when we finish it.
Just give it a shot, you guys.
All right, Nick.
Yeah. See you
later, Nick.
Let's finish it. All right, bye. We have a place on our website, KevinandBean at KROQ.com. You go to the Internet Roundup, and it's a lot of links for some of our favorite things, including Retarded Policemen.
Yes.
Episodes 1 through 13. that's one of the funniest things we've ever seen. We've also put up DJ Omar Khan's European race.
Oh, excellent.
It's 2 minutes is how long it takes him to describe his entire European vacation. And he was able to stay in each place about 2 minutes, and then he moved right on. And that's how fast his slideshow moves.
You really do feel like you've seen Europe in about 2 minutes. It's pretty remarkable. You know, we joke about that, but wasn't there one country where Omar literally had only 4 hours to do the whole thing?
I think it was 2 hours. Yeah, I think it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
DJ Omar Khan.
So we got that. We got the Mighty Stephen Hawking rap. We got all kinds of different links. And now we've got some new ones for you at the Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
The first thing that we have is a new section for bad national anthems.
Oh.
Because this happens at sporting events from time to time.
It must happen a lot if we have a new section.
We have a whole section for it. Yep.
Look, even for trained singers, it's one of the most difficult songs in the world to do.
And we had a cop that was singing the national anthem a few times ago. It's still up. The cop is looking at a piece of paper. His friends wrote it down for him wrong. And he sings the wrong song, the words, throughout the entire song.
It's pretty awesome.
We've put up some older ones, like Carl Lewis. I don't know if you remember him. He was a world-class sprinter.
Yes.
In the Olympics in, what, 96 or something like that? 92? And he was a world record setter, and he was singing the national anthem.
We're so gallantly streaming. And the Rockets, red flag! Uh-oh. The bombs bursting in air.
My favorite thing is, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. And you're really in a tough spot, by the way, because it's such a somber moment when you stand for the national anthem and it's supposed to be serious and patriotic. So when you crack up or when you screw up, it's not like any other song that you can just kind of forget about it. You've got to figure out a way to get through it and do it respectfully. And that's what really hoses these people.
And people do take a beat. They don't boo right away. They take a beat. They understand the pressure. Uh-huh. But if you don't get right back on track, the whole place starts booing.
That's right.
And that's what happened to this poor little girl at a hockey game in Canada.
They booed a little girl?
Well, I don't know how little she was. She looked small of stature. I would guess she was 22 maybe. I don't know how old she was. But she started singing the song and she screwed up. And then they started booing and she ran off the ice.
Their honor.
And by the way, this is in Canada.
Oh.
It's not even their anthem.
So she's singing it. She starts to freak out because everybody's booing her.
Oh.
And she turns and runs. Now, when they do it at hockey games, they do it on the ice.
Yeah.
They put out a little mat and they sing it on the ice. So she turns and she runs back through to where the locker rooms are. Somebody back there says, "You can't stop now. You have to go back and you have to finish the anthem." So she turns around and comes back. And what you're about to hear is... You hear the scream?
Yeah.
She stepped on the rug on the ice, and it went right out from underneath her, and she fell right on her ass.
Oh, no.
So they finally got her back on the ice to finish the anthem. She hit that, landed right on her ass, never sung another note, got up. They all started laughing or booing or whatever, and she ran back off again.
Oh, my God. Oh.
What a nightmare. And then, of course, there's Roseanne Barr. This is one of the most famous ones where she sang just like a little bird.
Remember, everybody's booing her.
Yeah. Well, she deserved it.
This was in San Diego, right? Is that where
that's right? It was. Yeah. And remember, she grabbed her balls.
Yeah.
Yep. She's got them.
Spit. Yep. She spit. That was good. So we got a section for that. We have Michael Bolton singing the national anthem that was poorly done. We have a fan that's singing the national anthem on the court at an NBA game, and she starts forgetting the words. And the coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Maurice Cheeks, I think is his name, walks
that's
over
right.
and kind of helps her finish it.
Oh, that was nice.
In front of the crowd. And then the crowd started singing, the players started singing. So, they'll give you a little bit of understanding. But so that's up there. The cop singing is up there. And there's a bunch of stuff, the retarded policeman. But the new one that we wanted to put up, we had Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly on last Thursday, I believe it was, mm-hmm. Friday. And we forgot, Ralph brought up the Green Team that's on his site, Funny or Die, Will Ferrell's site. And the Green Team is Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, and some dude.
Some other guy, yeah.
And they are there to help you understand recycling and everything else that is green. But they don't do it in exactly the same way that everybody else does it. It's Adam McKay. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. He's one of the group. So they are the Green Team, and they're explaining to a guy that he's got to, you know, recycle and whatnot.
Don't you know how much plastic that wastes eating that?
Well,
try going to your local store and tell them you don't want your stuff wrapped in plastic. You want it wrapped in biodegradable napkins.
Do you have an ID or credit card the Green Team could see?
Oh. Here's another healthy tip. Try wrapping your feces in tinfoil and saving it in a cooler. Don't use plastic wrappers. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I get it. You understand?
Yeah, I get it.
Never again!
Green team!
Biodegradable napkins, batteries, and glass dildos. Hey!
So they pull the guy out of the car now because he has not heard what they've said, and they teach him a lesson.
Just because it's a hybrid doesn't mean it doesn't burn gas.
Because I'm an environmentalist doesn't mean I'm a sissy mother.
Use your brain.
We gotta get the out of here. I think he's dead.
So the all three of them start running away because they killed the dude. And it ends with one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Run him over! I got a murder boner!
Remember, when you're done with a crime scene, always bleach.
That's right.
Make love to Mother Earth. Make a small hole in the ground.
Okay, I think we can tell where that's going.
Whoa. See, people would have voted for Al Gore if he had this approach to the environment.
Yes. So that's Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, and click on Green Team.
And by the way, while you're at krock.com, just unveiled the KROQ shop. You can link to it from the front page or go to krockshop.com. And we have tons of T-shirts and hoodies and hats of all sorts of great KROQ stuff for people around the world who have been demanding it forever. Finally, it's available at KROQ. Your Peeping Tom stories coming up between 7 and 7:30. Former super hot receptionist Janelle, still super hot, no longer receptionist here at KROQ, had a Peeping Tom incident down in Mexico that she'll tell us about coming up after the news at 7. Very looking forward to hearing that in excruciating detail.
Guy hit the mother load.
He sure did. Wow. Can you imagine?
Is that what the kids are calling these days?
6:54. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for you Tuesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Before I tell you what's going on, mind your own business, first of all.
Okay.
And second of all, I've got tickets to give away to the special KROQ screening of Step Brothers, the brand new hilarious comedy starring John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. It opens on Friday. You get to see it Thursday night if you're lucky enough to get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer to the following trivia question. John and Will, of course, worked together previously in Talladega Nights, one of my favorite comedies.
True.
That is true. And you know Jean Girard, played by Sacha Baron Cohen, who's a Formula One racer that he has to go up against.
True.
He is married to a gentleman named Gregory.
Yes.
His husband's name is Gregory.
That's correct.
Played by the former Conan O'Brien sidekick, Andy Richter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gregory's job is a trainer of German shepherds.
Yes. You're going a long way for this one.
But you remember that scene where they show the biography? It was like a mini documentary about Jean Girard.
Okay. Yes.
And as he is training his German shepherds, you can hear him calling them by name.
You're asking what the German shepherd names are.
Why don't you wait to hear what I'm asking?
All right.
Broom's starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
So he's training the German shepherds, and he calls them by name, Brigida, Marta, and Rolf, the Nazi boyfriend. Where do these character names come from? Where do the names Brigida, Marta, and Rolf, the Nazi boyfriend, come from?
Not
call
for you, Bean.
Right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you know the correct answer, you're first to get through. You'll win a pair of tickets. It's just that simple.
Ralph certainly has a lot of imagination.
He certainly does. Batman busted in England.
This is one of the strangest stories. You don't hear this very often.
The Dark Knight just got a whole lot darker. TMZ.com is telling us that Christian Bale has been arrested and is in custody of Scotland Yard in London for assaulting his mother and sister Sunday.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
The night before the London premiere of The Dark Knight.
By the way, we saw his parents get shot. I mean, I don't know what this story's about, but they are dead.
That's Batman's
parents. Did he dig them up again or what?
It's Batman's parents.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe he was furious that these people were impersonating his dead family.
No word on what actually happened in the incident, but apparently Scotland Yard is questioning Christian about the event, so we may know more details soon. But
sure hope it's not as it sounds. That's really ugly.
That's pretty awful.
I'm just, sometimes I wonder about families of the rich and famous.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes, if they're not good people, they can get, like, demanding, and they want your money, and they want this, and they want that. And maybe there was some sort of argument, and this is their way of teaching him a lesson or getting him in trouble by going to the cops. It does seem odd that his mother and sister would march down to the police station and say, arrest my son because he was violent towards me. Of course, assault can be a lot of different things, you know. If you threw a phone at him, that could be assault. It doesn't have to be physical battery.
Although they'll call the American Psycho film as evidence to his violent nature, and then he's hosed.
It's just,
I mean, he chainsaws people to death in that movie.
That was just
well, you can say that, but those people look dead to me.
No, I can say it because it was just a movie. That's how I can say it. What are you saying?
Hang loose.
It's the. Are we going surfing? Is this some Hawaiian thing you're trying to show me?
It's more of a cell phone. It's to tell you that we have.
You're making a phone hand gesture. I see.
On line 8.
Let's go to line 8 then.
Wendy in Anaheim.
Hello.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Where do the names Brigida, Marta, and Rolf, the Nazi boyfriend, come from?
The Sound of Music.
That's right. They're all characters from The Sound of Music. By the way, calling a German Shepherd Rolf the Nazi boyfriend, I think is one of the greatest dog names I've ever heard. Hold on for all the details, but you are going to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers on Thursday night at the Arclight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy. Don't worry about it, Wendy. Anytime I hear Wendy, I just keep this shining. It's the only one that comes into my mind.
I think of Jack Bean's Nicholson. Indian telephone answerer.
Huh?
What? Remember that? Hello, my name is Wendy. When he went on this tirade.
He's talking about what you call Best Buy. And you end up with someone in India and they always make up an Americanized name, but they're clearly not.
My mind goes to Nicholson. Psycho Mike's mind goes to some obscure Bean's
impression
bit.
I swear to God, Ralph, the only thing I ever think of is Peter Pan. I think of Wendy and Peter in the story Peter Pan.
Man, I wish I could play this game. I don't think of anything.
What's your Wendy thought, Kevin?
I don't have any.
Lisa, what's your Wendy thought?
Wendy hamburgers?
So
come
sure,
on.
That makes sense. Lisa's got one, Kevin.
I'm the only one that can't play.
You have to come up with a Wendy thought.
You can have the Beach Boys song if you're out, if you got nothing else.
I'd like the Beach Boys song I've never heard.
You can have Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics who wore plastic tape on her nipples.
We can't just move on?
Well, sure we can, but it's not nearly as much fun.
Hey, I remember the Plasmatics. Back to you.
Speaking of Christian Bale, people are trying to pour a little cold water on the box office of the new Batman film, The Dark Knight. Already, people are writing articles saying, well, if you adjust for inflation, then it's not the biggest money. Shut up. This isn't the presidential election, people. We don't have to count every hanging chad, okay? It's just the biggest money. This is the biggest movie ever. Just shut up. People get so picky about this stuff.
And that comparison is true of every movie, if you're talking about...
That's right. Gone with the Wind is probably still the biggest movie ever, if you adjust for inflation. So just shut up. Not kidding. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Could Jennifer Aniston be the very first Mrs. John Mayer?
Yeah.
Friends say that she is so in love with her new man that she's already talking marriage. And her friends say they wouldn't be surprised to see the two take the plunge before her 40th birthday next February.
He's a douche.
Yeah, she needs to avoid that, doesn't she?
In a related story, In Touch magazine asks, is John Mayer cheating on Jennifer Aniston?
Oh, no.
Apparently, the singer went to a coffee shop in Amsterdam. Coffee shop in Amsterdam.
That's what they call him.
And asked a tourist he saw there out to dinner. An onlooker tells the tabloid that John stared at her and finally came over and sat close to her to flirt with her and ask her out, and then the two left together. So
maybe she just looked hungry.
Maybe. She looked like she needed a good meal.
It is a hash bar. She must have been just famished.
If coffee shop in Amsterdam means dope house,
it does.
What does going out to dinner mean in Amsterdam?
Everything's cold.
I'm guessing anal sex. That's what going out to dinner means in Amsterdam, because apparently they don't mean anything they say over there.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, I'm kind of a douchebag.
Blah, 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 that's blah, true.
Blah. All right, yeah, let's all play something again.
Ambitious.
Talk about
it's called sound sex.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
All right.
It's a remix.
Wow. Kevin Bean, the remix.
It's like a Philip Glass concert. Four people right
good
now reference. Are laughing.
Thank you, Psycho Mike. Today's celebrity birthday.
Glass.
Alex Trebek, who we heard in extensive detail from Psycho Mike and lives a very nice life in Central California. He is 68 years old today. Don Henley. John Henley's brother is his lesser-known brother. Don Henley from the Eagles is 61, as is Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon. Albert Brooks, one of my favorite actor, comedian, director, writers. He does it all. He's 61. Willem Dafoe turns 53. David Spade, inexplicably babe magnet. David Spade is 44 years old today. And John Leguizamo celebrates his 44th birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First, though, very pleased to welcome back to the program. It's been far too long since we talked to our former receptionist here at K-Rock, supermodel receptionist Janelle, on the phone with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Janelle.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, my dear. Now, you, of course, still work at K-Rock. We just don't see you out front anymore like we used to.
Yes.
Okay. That's what she tells us. She's been super shaky. Lining her up is super shaky. She's like, she doesn't know her schedule. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, why is it easier to get Will Ferrell on the show than it is to get you on the show these days,
Janelle? I was in a car accident, so I had to deal with all that.
I am pretty sure she's running from the police.
That could be.
Yeah.
So, Janelle, the reason we wanted to have you on is you had a trip to Mexico recently that had a little bit more excitement than you planned on. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yes. Well, it was our last night in Mexico, and we were just getting home, like, around 2 o'clock, and our hotel had like strict security, and our room wasn't that far from the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend decided to take a shower before we go to bed. And while she was in there, she saw something out of her eye.
She saw what?
She saw something out of the corner of her eye, and then turned around while she was.
And it was you joining her?
No.
In the shower? No?
This is a lesbian story, Kevin.
This is our last night in Mexico, and I don't know if I'd have the nerve to do this when we got back to the States, so what do you think?
This isn't your dream, you guys.
Well,
this
why
is
not?
Story.
All right, so she saw something out of the corner of her eye.
Yeah, and anyways, while she was, when she got done and wrapping herself with the towels, she turned around and holding a.
We can't hear her.
She saw what? I can't hear you. What did she
say? Right. She's out of the shower. She's wrapping herself in a towel. You're making some tea. Then what happened?
Candles.
She saw a hand holding a phone from like the little window that was or that we had opened.
So he wasn't just peeping. He was taking pictures with his cell phone.
No, well, pictures or
video.
Or video.
All phones can do videos.
So it was a guy outside of your hotel room with his cell phone looking at her in the shower videoing it, maybe.
Yeah. Which our room, basically, I mean, we had this window open the whole time we were there because for ventilation and everything.
Of course. You need to be well ventilated when in Mexico.
Yes, it's humid.
So, but it's basically, if somebody was, you know, holding anything, they could see the shower, our bathroom, and all the way into our bedroom.
And this was the last night you were there, so for all you know,
we figured this. I mean, yeah,
you didn't see it the first three, four nights.
And by the way, there's no doubt the guy was holding something, if you know what I'm saying. There's no doubt about that. Now, Janelle, you seem like the kind of really, really unbelievably smoking hot chick that doesn't hang out with ugly girls. So I'm guessing that the girl that you went to Mexico with was equally hot.
She's extremely hot.
Oh, that dude, that peeping Tom is the luckiest guy in the history of the world ever. What a gold mine.
Did you catch him?
We got him fired. We actually went to the security.
Oh, he worked for the hotel?
Yeah.
He worked for the hotel.
God.
So he would just keep track of who's checking in and go, all right, 3A, that's the bungalow I need to hang out at next to you tonight.
What was his job? Do you know?
Well, late night security, possibly.
Oh, good. Good. So that's the guy that was tasked with keeping your room safe.
Basically.
Excellent.
And well, the next morning we woke up and went down to the or spoke with the security, like management, mm-hmm. and went down to the basement of the hotel to look at the surveillance to try to track down who it was.
Yeah.
So, because our late time manager told us, you know, that there's surveillance and all the cameras worked, although the night of, we did call the Mexican police and have them try to, you know, put in a report or whatever.
Mm. Did you give them any of our phone numbers? Did you give the guy our phone numbers?
No, why would I do such a silly thing?
Just asking.
So they were able to determine who the guy was, and he did get fired for peeping on you.
Yeah, it was all on surveillance. You saw us coming in that night. You saw like the coworkers like following us, and then you see everybody running out.
That is so
cool. We like chased after them.
All right,
good for you.
More questions for you, Janelle. Number one is, how did you guys feel after you realized you'd been peeped on?
Fantastic, never better. If I can answer for her.
It is the most disturbing feeling ever.
Yeah, why would you bring that up, Bean? Of course it's disturbing.
I'm just curious.
Well, of course it's disturbing.
It's sick.
It was a little hot, though.
No, not at all.
Bean, how did the women you peep on
totally
feel?
Violation of my privacy.
They feel good.
Okay,
about it.
And the last question is, with the investigation ongoing, what happened to all the video the dude shot? And what website is that on?
We're not really sure about that.
iworksecurity.com.
I don't know. I mean, they caught him. They claim that they fired him. He's not allowed to work in a hotel anymore, but we're not sure if they, you know,
confiscated.
Yeah.
But Janelle, you're going to take this wrong, but look at you and look at your Fred. Can you blame him, really? Can you really blame him?
Yes.
What do you want her to say? No? I thought it was great.
Janelle, isn't Janelle so hot she belongs to the world anyway? I mean, seriously, it's unfair.
No.
Yeah.
Hell no.
So she still has a say in that, Bean.
All right. All right, well, we heard the story, and we have taken phone calls from our listeners from time to time because this is a very Peeping Tom-heavy audience.
I don't know why, but we are.
Better story.
I'm not sure why, but people can call up, especially girls, at 1-800-520-1067 if you have run into a Peeping Tom, what you did about it, and just exactly what happened, especially if it's a girl. I don't know that I've ever heard of that.
Oh, ever. A girl peeping Tom?
Yes.
A peeping Thomasina?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never heard of that either. All right, Janelle, are you over it now? Are you back to normal, or do you need to be held?
I think I'm doing all right.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. Well, thank you for joining us today. I know Alex pulled a lot of strings to get you on with us, but we really appreciate your time, okay?
No problem.
Okay.
See you later.
Does she need to be held?
Well, I'm just saying.
I know.
You know, traumatized. I can help with that.
I hear you.
All right, so we're looking, if you've got Peeping Tom stories, particularly if you caught the guy, I'm fascinated with how that went down, because it has to be such a shock to you, it has to be such a surprise that, you know, it seems like it'd be very difficult to act quickly enough to catch somebody in a situation like that.
Yeah, generally.
Well,
to
get your head around what's going on, and
right,
then realize,
exactly.
And then run, and then get clothes on if you need to, and then run, doesn't seem likely. But we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
What about Peeping Toms here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show? Think about that guy in the few minutes before he got caught and got fired. Think about that guy who saw Janelle and her roommate. He had to just be thinking, I am the mother effing man. But then stupid girls had to turn him in, and then he got fired. Before we go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067 with Peeping Tom stories. Psycho Mike, I know it's difficult for you, but in about 30 seconds, can you tell us yours?
Friend of ours, female friend, was staying with us, and she's really hot. And needs custom-made bras. Her boobies are so big. I mean,
right.
She's really well endowed.
She's your wife's best friend. One of her best friends.
And she was in the shower at my apartment, and I knew this was my time to cash in. So I go outside to the window to
because she owed you.
Yeah, well, I wasn't charging her any rent to stay with us, so she might as well pay me off some other way.
And this was the agreement that you had with her?
Well, not so much.
How long was she staying with you?
Like, you know, a couple months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, that's worth the peep. Okay,
yeah.
What happened?
Okay, I'm with you.
Well, the window to my bathroom area is like on the second story. So I tried to climb up there on some trash cans, and I'm just about to get there. And I need to take one more step on another trash can, which is an unstable surface. And sure enough, it gives out right underneath me, and I flip backwards and just smash down on my spine, but also knocking over more trash cans with like my head and stuff on the way down. It's just this cacophonous noise. It was horrible.
Did you jump up, or were you like really hurt for a minute? I'm afraid to move.
I was seriously hurt, but I jumped up not to like prove that I was not hurt or cool, but because I didn't want my neighbors to think I was a burglar. You know, but I really hurt myself. I mean, I still feel the effects of it to this day, and it was over a year ago.
But was it worth looking?
Oh, yeah, sure. I got nothing.
Oh, you
got
no looks. Yeah. Oh, all right, let's go to Raquel in Glendale. Good morning, Raquel.
Good morning.
Peeping Tom?
Peeping Tom / stalker.
Oh, no.
Ooh, tell us.
Okay, apartment in Glendale. And
Glendale?
This guy has, huh?
Huh?
In Glendale. And he had a fence line, long fence line. So I don't know how long it was going on, but he asked one of my roommates for her number. So there was four girls. And started calling at 1:30 in the morning. And then it turns out that he had video cameras posted up on top of the fence, so he was watching through our living room window.
Oh, no.
So he was watching our schedule, like when we would go in and out, when we would leave, come home. He breaks into our apartment, goes through our clothes, goes through our underwear, doesn't take a thing, tells our neighbor that he's our boyfriend, that we're all his girlfriends.
Oh, my God.
So then, so we reported to the police and everything. So it turns out he had been stalking the girl downstairs as well.
What a
busy guy. Wow.
Yeah, and so he was going through her window. He would go to her window at night and put a flashlight and go, "Are you okay in there? Are you okay? I heard you screaming." So we find out about the girl downstairs. She reports it as well. Everybody's like, all the women are like crazy in the neighborhood, like, "Oh my God, this guy's a weirdo." So it turns out he takes off after he breaks into our apartment. He takes off out of town, calls me, says, "Hey, I heard your apartment got broken into." I'm like, "Yeah, you did it yourself. You know that."
He called and acted like, "Oh, I'm really concerned about you guys."
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, "Okay, whatever." So it was so bad that they had to put us on the 911 call so that if we called him, they knew it was regarding this guy.
Oh,
he was like around or in our apartment or breaking in. So I had to sleep with a bat next to my bed because every time I heard somebody on the stairs at night, I would be freaking out that it was him.
That's not how you want to live, really.
No.
Yeah. So the whole police department was looking for this guy. He had warrants out in other states, and he was apparently some guy who didn't like the government as well. So they broke into his apartment, and they actually had like undercover cops in my apartment one day, looking through binoculars through the window, trying to find this guy.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Listen, we got to run, Raquel. But thank you for the call. I apologize. We don't have the kind of time that it's going to take to finish that story.
Although she and Psycho Mike are perfect for each other. Let's talk to Emma in Huntington Beach. She's on line 3. This may be more the kind of call we're looking for. Hi, Emma. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I lived in a liquor store above, apartments above a liquor store in downtown Huntington Beach. And it was like a little studio, so my bed's right in front of the door. One day I plopped down on the bed, and there's like a beam of light flashing on my chest. And I'm like, what the hell? What is that? And so I look closer, and there's a hole drilled all the way through my front door.
Dude, some guy didn't look through the window. He drilled a hole through your front door?
Because my window was in the back of the room facing the beach, facing PCH. So, and that's like above. There's no way you can look through a window.
Right. So he's got to go where he has.
I jump up. I go outside. I don't even know how I missed it, but there's dust all over the floor. Like, it's fresh. And so I'm down the hallway, and I'm, like, telling my neighbors, because it's, like, literally just a bunch of studios above a liquor store, and everybody knows each other. And so I'm like, "You guys, look at this. What's going on, you know?" And so finally I look at the one weirdo that lives all the way at the end of the hallway. He was, like, some 45-year-old burnout, like, surfer weirdo dude.
Sure.
And he has a drill laying in front of his door. And putty.
And putty.
He is terrible at it.
He's not a good peeper. All right. Thank you for the call, Emma. We appreciate it.
Wow. We've got some good ones. We've got a guy peeping Tom with a great story. We've got a girl peeping Tom, if you can believe it. We're talking about how we had. Let's go to Nicole real quick. That's the wrong button. She's on line one in Sylmar. A girl peeping Tom calling the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning.
How about that? Nicole, hi.
Hi. How are you?
We are very good. You're the peeping Tom?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, we had these neighbors that moved in next door to my mom's, and we had this, like, Thanksgiving dinner, so our friends came over for before Thanksgiving, and we had, like, a potluck. And these guys that live next door to us, they were from the Marines, and they were just moved in, and they were taking a shower. One of the guys was taking a shower. We could see it from our dining room.
So all the girls would be like, turn off the lights and kind of like saw him take a shower from the waist up.
Nice.
So you're all watching the Marine take a shower.
Yeah.
And I hope you did your American duty afterwards.
Some of us did.
Some of you did. All right.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to the flip side of that. We've got William in Yucaipa. He's on line 7.
You know what? Let's take a break and take some of these in a second.
Okay. We do have some good ones.
We have too many good ones. And some of them are men. Some of them are old men. It's really the limit of peepers is endless. So we'll take a quick break and come back at 1-800-520-106. Who knew there were this many peeping Toms? For God's sakes, people. Get a life.
Hey, sometimes it's the only... I'm not saying I know because now that I know, but sometimes it's the only option. Yeah, 1-800-520-1067 if you're just joining us. We spoke with our former supermodel receptionist at K-Rock, Janelle, who still works at K-Rock, still super hot, no longer the receptionist. But she was in Mexico recently and caught a guy outside the hotel where she was staying with a cell phone camera videoing her roommate showering. And we thought, well, who could complain about that? But apparently there are people who are upset about it. I don't get it either. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. When we left, it was William in Yucaipa's term. He's on line 7. He's got what I think is the ultimate story.
Hey, William.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Okay. First of all, I moved to a new neighborhood, and it was a cul-de-sac. So I'm walking my dog. It's like 9 o'clock at night. And I notice this lady's window is open. She's walking around topless. So I sit there for a second, and then all of a sudden I see another girl approach her. They start making out. So at this point, I'm going, oh, right, this is a great neighborhood. Well, meanwhile, I didn't notice there was two guys in lawn chairs sitting behind me, and they're yelling at me, move, you a-hole!
Was this a nightly show that they would put on knowing people were watching?
Well, I noticed the guy sitting there like, every night around the same time, but I never seen anybody, you know, naked, but...
That was
apparently they had seen the show before, and I was in their way.
Well, that's nice. That's nice that those girls were putting on a show for the neighborhood. I like that.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Krista in Torrance. She's on line 4. Kevin DeBeach on K-Rock. By the way, our friend Seth Green on his way in joins us after the news at 8. Hi, Krista. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
So I just got back from Italy, and we're staying in, like, a dorm setting. There's 6 people in each room. We don't really lock the doors because mm-hmm. we're kind of comfortable with everyone.
Sure.
So 4:30 in the morning one night, and I hear the door slam, and I wake up, and my other 2 roommates, and we see this guy walking from bed to bed to bed with a flashlight in his hand.
Hey, wait a minute. In your room?
In our room.
With a flashlight. He wasn't trying to hide.
A cell phone flashlight. So he was walking from bed to bed to bed. And you can totally tell this guy's drunk. He's, like, just, like, rolling his feet on the floor. And we think it's, like, my boyfriend, one of our friends. And I'm just like, I don't know. So the guy leaves. Because I'm like, it's 4:30 in the morning. I just woke up. The guy leaves. I jump out of bed to go look to see who it is. And the next thing you know, I hear my roommate scream at the top of her lungs. There's another Italian boy, like, waiting in the bathroom with the lights off.
What the hell?
Oh, my God. Dude.
Yeah. And so he runs out. And then we come to find out that they had gone in 2 other rooms. And all they wanted to do was find American girls and have some fun.
Wow.
At 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
And did you oblige or no.
No?
No. All right.
Unfortunately not.
Did that ruin your trip to Italy or was it funny?
Not at all, actually.
Not
I
funny.
Had a blast.
Oh, you had a blast. Okay, good.
And she can't wait to get back.
Thank you. She's now talking to one of them on the phone every day. All right. Let's go to Mary in Long Beach. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. Okay, so one night I was hanging out with a friend, a guy friend, but just a friend. I've known him for years, and he has a live-in girlfriend that I also know. And we were out late, so I crashed his place, and the next morning I take a shower, and I get out of the shower, and, like, the little cupboards kind of slid open.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Band-Aid box with a little tiny hole in it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I take it out. It's on record facing the shower. He was holding me in the shower the whole time.
He was recording you in the shower, and you knew him and his live-in girlfriend?
Yes.
Wow. Is it up online?
He came over to visit you.
Is it up online anywhere?
No, I deleted it. Aww. But kind of freaked me out because I've stayed there a lot before. I've known him for years. So,
yeah,
I don't know. What
did you ask him about having a backlog of tapes?
No, I pretty much freaked out and just left.
Really? You never mentioned it to him?
No, or his girlfriend. So I kind of feel guilty about that. She was
How about
home.
That? Wow. All right. Thank you, Mary, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Sam and Diamond Bar because this looks like it may be one of the funniest. Sam, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean?
And maybe, you know what, this call might help us understand what it feels like.
Okay.
Sam, go ahead.
Okay, one of the worst experiences probably till now. I'm at a shopping mall, and I got to go to the bathroom, you know, do my deed, and go inside the stall, trying to take a crap.
Really? Listen, you don't have to be as
detailed
yeah. about what you're doing on the toilet. I think we all get that.
All right, cool.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, you know how there's a little crack, you know, between the stalls?
Right.
You know, and then I look over, and there's this old guy, maybe late 50s. He's just staring at me.
Dude.
He's there dead on, and then for 5 seconds, he looked me straight in the eyes.
No.
And then I'm just trying to, you know, brush it off as if, you know, he's just maybe weird or something. And after I'm done, and then I go out and I knock on the door, and then he goes, "What do you want?" And then I'm like, "Why are you staring at people?" And supposedly he was in there for hours because there was a line, and then he never came out after. I sit outside for 10 minutes waiting for him to confront him.
Did he say, "What are you doing?"
Did he say, "Vote for me, I'm running for Congress in Idaho"?
No.
None of the above. All right, so that didn't end well. That's not nearly as exciting. You
when
know?
It's a guy.
When it's a guy?
At a guy.
No.
Well, not for you.
I mean,
that's a little bit of a downer to end this topic on.
Why the whole got to be black?
That's an excellent question, Lisa. It's the Kevin Meade Show on KROQ 106.7 KROQ. Congratulations to Alex Solis from Fullerton. Picked up tickets for the upcoming Warped Tour. He'll see Katy Perry, Angels and Airwaves, Against Me, and more. We got more tickets for you all day long today. In fact, all week long, we're hooking you up with the hottest KROQ summer shows. Where's Ralph Garman? What happened? Yes, he's here a second ago.
He just went running out. I'm not sure exactly.
He did the stretch thing.
I'll be right back.
Thanks for your help, too. Bye. Well, by the way,
look, back.
I was
getting
ready. I was like, come on, stall for me. Oh, where'd he go?
Yeah.
I was getting ready to stall. It was going to be great.
So, no professional courtesy.
Now we don't need it. So.
Time for the show.
The king of ad-libbing when it's needed.
Hey,
you know
you're
that.
The one that asked where he went. I was going to spin a yarn, man.
I didn't know that he had made the symbol. I was reading Warped Tour stuff. I didn't realize he'd made the signal. Sorry.
I'd like to hear a yarn from Kevin.
Who spins yarns anyway?
No one. That's
just what a sucker Kevin is.
Last time someone spinned a yarn was on a sailing ship.
Try to talk in language Bean would understand.
I think King Henry II was going across the English Channel.
Strange.
Looking for
King
Thomas
Rage.
Beckett. How about that? How about that for some historical
references today?
There.
No, I know what you're saying right now. Seth Green is next. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Suri Cruz is better than you.
Yep.
Better than your children.
Yeah.
She is 2 years old. She's barely managed the English language. Get that down. But now she's learning another. In Touch magazine says that Tom Cruise has put her into French classes. She can learn how to speak French. And, of course, Mom, Katie Holmes, says she's picking up the language very quickly.
Of course. As young kids do, by the way.
Yeah.
But Suri especially quickly.
She's quicker than anyone else.
Quicker than probably. Any other child has ever picked up anything. True. And so Katie just caressed her face with her purple hands and said, good work, sweetie.
What is the rumor about the weird purple hands that she sometimes has?
It is a Scientology cleansing ritual. Where they inundate your body with all these kinds of vitamins and whatnot. And apparently the process sometimes causes discoloration in various body parts.
Is that considered good when your body parts turn different colors, like blue or purple hands? Is that considered a positive?
I don't know. I know sometimes, too, if you take, what do they call it? There's a certain kind of silver that you could ingest in your body. It's supposed to be purifying. That can turn your skin color, too.
And is that good?
No.
There was a
story about a guy on the news, about a guy who, colloidal silver it's called, colloidal silver. He was taking it for his arthritis because some quack told him it would cure his arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he kept taking colloidal silver over and over and over and over again, and now he's blue. And I'm not effing around, I'm talking like Smurf blue. And dude is 65 with white hair and a white beard. And his skin is blue.
Permanently?
Yes.
Blue?
No, not stained. It comes from the inside out, Alex. This is a byproduct
Lisa.
Of...
Lisa.
What's your name?
You said Alex.
It's a byproduct of ingesting the silver. It turns...
It's never going to change back?
No.
Oh, my God.
Can he join the Blue Man Group?
No, because his face has got to be red.
But he has been cast as Papa Smurf in the upcoming Smurf live-action films. So
okay.
It all works out.
I think we've gone far afield of the topic, you think?
Oh, look who's talking. Look who's freaking talking.
Yeah.
Before I get any further into this nightmare of a
this
show.
This tirade.
Yeah. I'd like to give away tickets to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers. Thursday night at the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood. The movie opens on Friday, so you'll get to see it before anybody else. You can tell your friends Thursday night. Oh, Step Brothers? Saw it.
What? Tell everybody how it ended.
You're going to wait for it to open? Oh, you wait for it, the regular people to go? Not me. I went to a special screening.
You're going
to
be so surprised when they shoot each other.
Oh. Here is the trivia question. I've been asking trivia questions all morning for you to get a pair of tickets. When John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell previously starred together in a film, they, of course, star in Step Brothers. They were in Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
True.
All you have to tell me is, what type of car does Ricky Bobby race in that movie? What type of car? I need the name and the year of the car that is Ricky Bobby's race car. Please call now. 1-800-520-1067. First person with the correct answer, bum. Pair of tickets. It's just that simple. This is a cool list from MTV, the top 10 movie gizmos of all time.
Top 10 movie gizmos.
Top 10 movie gizmos of all time. You ready?
Sure.
Okay.
Number 10, the Opti Grab from The Jerk. Remember Steve Martin in The Jerk?
Barely.
He invents the piece of wire that goes on your glasses so that when you're pushing your glasses back up, it rests on your nose so your glasses don't slide down your face.
That's one of the top 10?
The Opti Grab, yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately, there was a class action lawsuit later in the film filed against him because they had the piece of wire in between their eyes, keeps staring at it, and everyone ends up cross-eyed who wears them.
Not so good then.
Number 9, the portable wave brain detector with built-in tongue from Barbarella, the science fiction movie with Jane Fonda.
Don't think I ever saw that one.
Comes in very handy, that tongue.
Yeah.
The communicator from Star Trek, number 8, of course.
There you go.
The precursor to our modern-day cell phones. They knew what they were doing on that Star
sure.
Trek. Number 7, the UHF single-digit sonic agitator unit from Die Another Day, James Bond.
Okay.
Number 6, the programmable Batarang from Batman Returns. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Keaton plugs. He looks around, sees how many guys he's got, and he punches in on the Batarang how many guys there are and where they are, and he throws the Batarang, and it knocks them all out and comes back to him.
That's pretty cool.
Number 5, the golf bag from Caddyshack, the one that Rodney Dangerfield uses. It's got like a radio.
Oh, it's got like a bar in it or whatever.
Everything in it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Number 4, the rebreather from Thunderball, James Bond. Little tiny little rebreather he goes underwater with. Number 3, the puzzle box from Hellraiser. Number 2, the neuralizer from Men in Black. Make sure we get everything. And number 1, movie gizmo of all time? You gotta know this one. You gotta imagine.
Number 1, movie gizmo of all time.
From MTV, the top movie gizmo of all time.
The sword they use in Star Wars.
The lightsaber. Exactly.
Oh,
thank you.
Once
about
again,
that?
You come through with the answer.
I just looked down at my paper and it said Seth Green, Robot Chicken, Star Wars.
Hey! Yeah. Hey, what the? Maybe it's a... ABC's announced that Desperate Housewives will end after its 7th season.
What?
It goes into season 5 this fall, so there's just 2 more. So just hold on, everyone. Just hold on. In 2 more years, this national nightmare will be over.
You don't watch that, Mike.
Mark Cherry, the creator, told that to the meeting of the Television Critics Association this week. So there is an end in sight, people.
They get off the island. We know that much, right? We just don't know how or why some stay behind. Is that where we are on it?
It's different.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
I don't know.
They're
putting up all
confusion.
Kinds of different.
There seems to be confusion.
Different answers.
The way the question was worded, and none of us are Talladega Nights experts, so
the car that Ricky Bobby drives throughout the film.
They're saying it's Reese Bobby, not Ricky, that drives a specific car.
Oh, did I say Ricky?
You did.
No.
You did.
No. I meant to say
so we're all puzzled.
Reese Bobby, his dad, drives a car throughout
that?
The whole film.
Okay.
His race car.
That's very different.
What car is that?
His dad.
What in the bus?
Alex, why didn't you correct him?
Oh, I see. She's saying that quickly on my
please
screen
correct
there,
question.
Isn't it? Please
correct it's Reese Bobby. It's Reese Bobby.
It's Reese Bobby.
Yeah.
It's Reese Bobby. Gary Cole plays his dad, Reese Bobby. That's who I was referring to.
Okay.
And I absent-mindedly said Ricky Bobby. Because I had that on my mind, obviously. So I stand correct and apologize for all of you who are confused. Wow, this has been a bad one. This has been a rough one.
This one's not going in the vault, I'll tell you that.
Christian Bale busted for beating up his mom.
This is bizarre.
TMZ's got the story. Christian Bale has been arrested by the British police and taken into a precinct in central London, is being questioned regarding some sort of altercation between Christian Bale, his mom, and his sister Sunday night, the night before the London premiere of The Dark Knight. No word on the details, but apparently his mom and sister were the ones that turned him into the cops, and they picked him up, and now they're questioning him. So as the story develops, we'll probably know more. But here's the great thing about the British police. They're like, so, did you do anything?
No.
All right, then, on your way. But please, please be careful. Yes, they just give you a lot of chances over there in England. So
we have a winner, believe it or not.
He may not be in too much trouble. We have a winner for a question I could barely ask.
That's correct.
I find that hard to believe.
Catalina.
Yes.
Catalina. What is the answer? What did Reese Bobby drive in Talladega Nights?
He drove the 1969 Chevrolet Chevelle Malibu.
That's right. He's rocking the Chevy Malibu. 1969, boo.
Nicely done.
As we used to say. Well done. You have won yourself a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Step Brothers Thursday night.
Yay, thank you.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details. Reese being very different from Ricky. Reese being the dad.
Ricky does drive, too, which doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. There's a lot of cars in that movie. I should have been more specific. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Leguizamo is 44 years old today. Actor-comedian David Spade turns 44. Willem Dafoe. Speaking of big comic book movies, how good was he as Green Goblin, that first Spider-Man? He was scary. Oh, yeah. He was a scary mofo.
Kevin, how do you, how would you have
that
look
10
on your
years
face?
Ago, wasn't it?
But it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know.
The guy who flew around on the glider throwing the stun pumpkins.
Oh, that was pretty good, yeah.
Him.
All right.
That's Willem Dafoe.
Thank you.
Albert Brooks, talented actor, comedian, director, is 61 years old today. Danny Glover is also 61, as is Don Henley, leader of the Eagles. And game show host Alex Trebek turns 68 years old today. Wow.
Yeah.
He's old and rich. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, a trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it.
Look.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Back off my jock, okay, dinkus? Dinkus? In reality, it's more like she was obsessed with this.
Hey, you know what? Keep dreaming, Seth. Keep dreaming.
I had enough people come up to me asking me to do the voice.
Yeah, yeah. And they also have an orange Julius. Just trying to keep the conversation going.
What do you want from me, you beaver? What, an autograph? A headshot? Well, unless you can trade me a clean cup of urine, you can forget it.
Would you stop?
How about an hour?
How about a what?
How about an hour? Honestly, isn't this...
How about you dope, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Doo?
That sounds like our pal Seth Green in studio celebrating the DVD release today of Robot Chicken Star Wars. Hey, Seth, how are you, man?
Hey, man, is your hair like crazy long now?
Yes. His hair is ridiculous.
What have you been doing up in the mountains?
Just letting it grow, baby. Just letting it grow.
Just letting it grow, baby.
It's looking prettier.
We always ask him what the goal is. What exactly is he working toward? And he doesn't usually have an answer for that. There's usually not a...
He doesn't have too many answers for a lot of
things. Well, I live on an island. I don't really see people. It doesn't really matter what I look like. I'm in an audio medium, so I can pretty much let myself go.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Occasionally, he has to go to events. It was Valentine's Day. He shows up, and he's wearing, like, this beanie and this old shirt. He looked homeless.
He did. He looked like
a bum.
Yeah, the missus always appreciates that kind of attention to detail.
He does.
I don't think she cares.
She hasn't really put a lot of thought into this.
She hasn't given him a glance either in quite some time. Yeah. So.
Clearly.
Sounds like a healthy romance.
Yeah.
Seth, how you been, man? You look tired, if I could be honest with you.
He says through the video feed.
You look a little run down. Even from here, I can tell you look a little whooped.
He doesn't look whooped. He just says he's whooped.
It's true. No. I've been running around promoting this DVD, trying to get people to buy it, letting people know that it happened. Because typically that's what happens. The entire time we've been doing the show, people are like, you should put that out on DVD. I've got, we got two DVDs out. They're like, I had no idea. So I think, I got to hit the pavement a little bit harder.
That's got to be a little frustrating.
Like, I never thought of that. Thank you for that brilliant idea. DVD.
We should make sure it's got good placement in your average purchase point.
are you finding, Seth, that Robot Chicken is the type of program that people want to own?
It is, because it kind of begs repeat viewing. It's very quick paced, and so much of the material is really dense. And every frame of it, because it's stop motion, we hide so many nerdy details in every single frame. So it's a freeze frame kind of show.
Tell us about Star Wars. You mentioned it before. You have you have Seth MacFarlane, some of your friends.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of the cast that we typically have on regular Robot Chicken: Seth MacFarlane, Breckin Meyer, Donald Faison. But we also got people like Hulk Hogan and George Lucas appears in it. We got Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks. It's really fun, man. It's for a guy that grew up watching Star Wars and playing with Star Wars toys, getting to make well, I can't say make a living, but getting to make a show.
You're not going to retire on this one, are you?
No, Robot Chicken's not a moneymaker. Although, you know, buy that DVD, kids, and we'll see.
There you go.
We'll see, right?
Maybe.
Now,
if
you
we can
saw
sell a million DVDs, I'll throw a party.
All right.
There you go.
And everyone's you know what? If we sold a million DVDs in the first week, mm-hmm. I will team up with K-Rock, and we will throw a fan party.
There you go.
A million DVDs in the first week, kids. That's what I'm talking about.
That's not too much to ask. Come on.
Family Guy did it in 3 days. I'm just saying.
Hey, Seth, you saw the first Star Wars movie as essentially an infant, right?
It's true. Yeah, I was like 3 years old.
So you grew up your whole life virtually not knowing a world without Star Wars. What's it like when you get invited to visit Mr. Lucas at the ranch? Tell us about that.
It's really, really cool. I mean, I've been to some pretty exciting places in my life. I've been to, you know, the Playboy Mansion and places like that, and getting to go to Skywalker's comparable as far as excitement, just because it's beautiful, it's lushly appointed, it's just so nice, and plus it's this incredibly remote and secret place that a lot of people don't get to go to.
Right.
So it was really thrilling.
Yeah. And we did you see his house too?
I haven't been to his main house. Okay. No, I tread lightly. To tell you the
truth. I understand.
I don't want to overstep my bounds just yet. I really like that no one's kicked me out. That's pretty
show
cool.
me the bedroom, George. Let's go.
Well,
George,
I just wonder.
Maybe we could hold hands and spend some time in front of your vanity mirror attending to each other's facial hair. What do you think, dude?
I just wonder if a guy like Lucas is a guy like Quentin Tarantino, who loves movie props and has a bunch of stuff from the Star Wars movies, for instance, at his house. I mean, that would just freak me out if I was at Lucas's house and he's got R2-D2 or something, you know?
Like I said, I haven't been to the house, but in the main house at the ranch and in the Lucasfilm archives, they have props and weapons and costumes and masks and things from all the projects that he's done.
That's cool.
I got to hold the idol from Indy.
No kidding.
And I put on Indy's leather jacket.
Nice. Yeah. Dude.
You pick up the whip and
have a little. No, I'm going to put the hat on.
Now, you mentioned Jar Jar Binks. The actor who plays Jar Jar Binks does some very funny improv stuff, if I recall from when I saw this when it aired on TV originally. Sure. What does he make of how despised he became in the Star Wars universe through no fault of his own?
No, he's got a great sense of humor about it because, you know, it wasn't his performance that turned people off. It was kind of the tone of this character and the shape of the movie in general. There was so much anticipation about it, and people just wanted to have a childlike experience where they fell in love with C-3PO all over again. And, you know, Jar Jar is a little bit more broad of a character, and as an adult, you're not as receptive to that kind of thing. But Ahmed is so funny. Like, he's such a gifted and talented actor and so clever and creative that you can understand why on the set and while the movies were being made, people were like, oh my gosh, this character is going to pop. Ahmed Best is one of the funniest things that I've ever seen, because it's true. It's true. It's just in the context of the movie, that character became more annoying than exciting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But Ahmed's got great perspective about it, and that's part of why he's willing to send it up. He's made peace with it, you know?
That's pretty cool. That would be difficult to do if you're the guy everybody's, you know, didn't like your character.
Well, no, I mean, he didn't write it, of course.
No one knows what he looks like either. That's the nicest thing.
Well, plus, the one thing he has is he's not Hayden Christensen. I mean, that's a guy who really needs to bear the brunt of the horror that was some of those later Star Wars movies.
I don't know. Jumper did all right. Nobody's too mad at Hayden.
Well, all right. I won't ask you to comment on his acting ability. Robot Chicken Star Wars out on DVD today. By the way, new episodes return at the end of August on the Cartoon Network. That show is still airing Sunday nights at 11:30. Is that right?
That's true. And if we can sell a million copies in this week, I will throw a party at K-Rock. All right. And invite all the fans.
We have plenty more to talk to Seth about, including his upcoming appearance at Comic-Con. We want to talk about what the hell is Top Cow? What's going on with Family Guy? We got lots of questions. Seth is here. We'll try to keep him awake and talk some more after this.
Seth Green is in the studios with us.
Hey, guys.
Seth is going to Comic-Con. What, is he wrestling his microphone now? What's happening here?
Me and the mic are in a cage match. And then I tagged in my partner, Lisa Maida.
And it's winning.
So far.
Until I came in.
She did. She put it in the figure four leg locking.
Now, Seth is going to be at Comic-Con Friday afternoon with his friend Seth MacFarlane. The two Seths are going to be there talking about The Family Guy on a panel there and also discussing the upcoming spinoff of The Cleveland Show. Is that going to be this fall we're going to see Cleveland Show?
Maybe.
Come on, man.
We don't know.
That's going to tell people at the Comic-Con.
That's like asking me American Dad questions, man. I'm not on that show.
Okay. Well, anyway, they're going to be at Comic-Con. By the way, our friend Kevin Smith, also at Comic-Con this weekend, will be here tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, so you definitely don't want to miss that.
If I don't, I'm sure I'll see him at the con, though.
Seth is here talking about Robot Chicken. You saw it on TV when it aired on the Cartoon Network. Now it is available for sale on DVD. By the way, I heard some people on, I saw some people on the comment section of the Amazon.com this morning saying, you know, it's only a half an hour show. Do I really want to go out and buy it? And then other Robot Chicken fans were coming on saying they hear there are hella extras on this, I believe is how they phrased it.
Did they use the word hella extra?
I believe they did, yes.
You know, it's nice. Ever since Gwen Stefani coined that a couple of years ago, it's been accepted in the modern vernacular.
Sort of.
So there are hella extras on the DVD. There's actually over 2 hours of extras.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way more extras than show.
It's kind of funny that way. But, you know, it was Star Wars, and we just documented everything. And there's a lot of how-tos. There's a lot of processes. There's a lot of the how this came to be. And, you know, part of what's fun about the show, I think, is that we show people how to make it. So we feel like the audience feels included on the fun that we're having, and that I think is part of the success of the show, is that we're just having a great time making this silly thing with toys, and you know, people get in on that and they like it too, so it's awesome. I'm really excited.
Have you thought of changing the stop animation thing, or is that
no? I love stop motion.
That seems like
man.
It's so much work.
It is. It's a ton of work. You know, it's 11 months of production for 20 episodes, which is a season. Yeah.
11 months.
Yeah, and I make movies too, so.
Wow.
When you see me out places and I say I'm tired, I'm not. It's not hyperbole.
No kidding.
Man, oh man.
Now, set up the clip that we have. This
is actually a clip from the sketch that kind of started it all. We did a sketch where the Emperor takes a phone call from Darth Vader telling him that the Death Star's been blown up. And, you know, our whole philosophy with Robot Chicken is taking the outrageous and making it kind of mundane. It's finding all the normal, basic human machinations of whatever outrageous property we're dealing with.
Right.
So in Star Wars, it's like, somebody had to build that thing. Somebody had to contract it. Somebody's got to be paying all the bills. You know? And that's where this bit came from. So Lucasfilm actually saw this clip in our show and approached us about collaborating.
You have a collect call from
Darth Vader.
I got to take this. Hold on. Vader, how's my favorite Sith? What do you mean they blew up the Death Star? Who's they? What the hell is an aluminum falcon? Okay, so who's left? Are you me? Well, where are you? Wait a sec. You've been flying around for 2 weeks trying to get a signal? Oh, you must smell like feet wrapped in leathery burnt bacon.
That's awesome. No wonder George Lucas liked it.
He goes on to talk about the impact to his credit and, you know, how difficult it's going to be to rebuild and how it wasn't even fully paid off.
That's hilarious.
That's available on DVD today, Robot Chicken, Star Wars. Let's talk about some of your other many shows.
Sell a million this week.
Have a party. Right, I got it.
This week, I'm going to coordinate with K-Rock to throw a fan party.
All right.
Seth, are you shocked that Family Guy is the biggest show in the world all these years on? It's just getting stronger every season.
I'm so grateful for that. You don't even know, dude. Because that was one of the best scripts I ever read. And I thought, oh, if only I could get this show. And then I got it, which was amazing. And then we got canceled. And I just thought, oh, that was fun while it lasted. And then, you know, the fans were so supportive. And the DVD sold so well that Fox brought it back. And now
That's a weird showbiz story, isn't it? Really, I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
I don't know that that's happened. But we... I love it. It's one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. I kind of can't believe my good luck to be on
it. It's the
best. Because I like to watch the show, too.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
It's but super funny.
It is amazing.
And you can go to YouTube and look up, you know, the behind the scenes where they do the voice. Seth does the voices and a bunch of different guys.
The guy that
does Cleveland and all that. And
yeah, Mike Henry.
You look at him and you go, well, how is that voice coming out of that guy? It's
really
so bizarre.
Well, that's the fun of voiceover. And part of the fun that we have on Robot Chicken is we bring celebrities in all the time to play things that they never get to play physically. You know, Hulk Hogan plays Abe Lincoln, has a lightsaber battle with George Bush on this disc.
That could happen.
It's true.
You probably know, Seth, that your colleague, Alex Borstein, who does Lois Griffith, of course, she's a neighbor of mine.
Oh,
you probably
really?
Yeah, we live very close to each other. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
How weird is that?
I love Alex.
She's
Alex
awesome.
Is one of the most underrated performers you can imagine. She's just
a great cast.
Talented.
All right, what's also at Comic-Con on Saturday, you're on a panel about Top Cow. And
well,
I know that
Top Cow is a publisher. They published the comic that I made, Freshman, and we're putting out a standalone issue, the summer special that Hugh Sterbikoff wrote, which is a sort of a bridge between a second and third series about our kids in college who have superpowers.
So now you have to have a comic book, too.
Not necessarily. You know, I grew up loving comics. It was always kind of a dream of mine to make a comic, especially with my friend Hugh, who was a writer. We grew up reading comics together, and we thought, when we were kids, we made comics in high school. You know, we hand-drew them and wrote them and photocopied and distributed them to our friends. So this is cool to get to do it. And, you know, Top Cow is the publisher that made Wanted, which is the movie with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Kind of a big deal.
That's pretty cool. Out there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break. Can you stick around for one more?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. The Robot Chicken Star Wars out on DVD today, and we'll be right back.
Million
with
copies to a party, kids.
Seth Green. We have Seth Green in the studio with us.
And we are congratulating David Castillo from Southgate, who just won tickets to go see Radiohead, giving away tickets to all the great K-Rock summer shows all week long.
Oh,
next
I'm going
hour,
to that,
Jack Johnson.
Hollywood Bowl show.
Are you? Are you?
Yeah, you know, for several years I've been living in Los Angeles, and one time I was driving up Highland and just saw a clutch of incredibly cool looking people walking, I guess, south on that avenue. I was like, well, no, where are all these people coming from? I lean out, I go, where are you guys coming? They're like, Radiohead at the Bowl, dude. And so from then on, I was like, man, I got to get tickets to that. And the past several years, I never have. And then I heard about it well in advance and just raced to get
tickets.
That
is such a good venue to see that band in.
I saw Ray Charles there, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
I saw Nine Inch Nails there and a bunch of other people. It's a bizarre.
That is, it's a beautiful concert hall.
It is.
Though.
It is. And it sounds good, too.
Yeah.
Seth was telling us off the air about how he got the job on Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
You want to describe that quickly for people? Because it's such a weird thing.
I've told this story a lot. I was a big fan of Silence of the Lambs. My friend Charlie Corsmo and I were imitating Ted Levine, who plays Buffalo Bill in that movie because that performance is so indelible.
Right.
And we were walking around. We're like, oh, yeah, we're seeing a great big version and doing that whole thing. And we're about a size 7, you know that. And, I got the script for Family Guy, and I was like, man, it's the best script I've read in a while. What can I even do for this? And Charlie was like, well, you should just go in there and do Buffalo Bill. And I was, oh, by the way, Charlie sounds like Billy Dee Williams.
Okay.
And I said,
did you think you were cutting your throat on that job, though?
Perhaps. I thought, oh, that'll never work. But I went in there and tried some, like, surfer dude thing, which is what everybody else had been doing, apparently. And then I was like, can I just try something? And I did all the dialogue as Buffalo Bill, and I got the job. Yeah. So
they said, yes, perfect.
Here's a lesson to all you kids that would undermine your own confidence when you walk in for a job.
Try what
just
you...
Give it a shot. If it doesn't involve sexual harassment, give it a shot.
I love that.
Tell us, I have one more clip from the Robot Chicken Star Wars, and this is the Yo Mama fight.
Oh, you mean the special, the DVD that impossibly sold a million copies in a week and resulted in a huge party thrown by Seth and K-Rock?
Yes, that one.
For That's the fans great. That bought the DVD?
Yes, that one.
What's the clip?
Tell us about that scene. It's the Yo Mama clip.
Oh, right. With Luke and... you know... This is just a really silly guy.
That's why I got it, because it's ridiculously stupid, and I love that crap.
There's a battle between Luke Skywalker and the Emperor where they're battling with Yo Mama jokes. They're all Star Wars-centric.
I said, Yo Mama's so fat, Jabba the Hutt said, damn! Well, Yo Mama's so ugly, she put the ug in Ugnaught.
Yo Mama fight!
Yo Mama's so stupid, she spent all day saying, I'm not to R2! Oh,
your mother is so fat that Ben Kenobi said, that's no moon. That's your mama.
Everybody's gathered around, and, you know, Darth Vader's keeping score.
Your mama's so dumb, she thought Jar Jar comes with pickles.
Your mother is so stupid, she thinks a lightsaber has fewer calories.
I don't get it.
It's light. I guess it's light, like calorie. Like light means that there's not a lot of calories, and it's good. What? For your body, that's how stupid your mother is.
So only a million copies. That's all we hope to sell this week,
well,
right?
Well, if we can sell a million, I'm going to throw a party with K-Rock.
Throw a big
that's
party.
What I'm
okay.
A party for the fans.
All right.
That's available everywhere today. By the way, real quick before you go, Seth, because I know you have a very busy day. Have you seen The Batman yet?
Yes.
What'd you think?
That's awesome. I've been waiting for this movie forever.
Me too. I was geeking out.
Well, specifically for the last 2 years when I heard it was going to be done, and we knew what Chris Nolan was going to do with it, and you heard Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker. I've been just waiting for this for so long. It just didn't disappoint.
When the casting news was announced, we've talked about this since Batman came out, and we heard that Heath Ledger was getting, and we all thought he was a good actor. He'd been good in other things before. We were like, dude, no one wants to follow Nicholson as the Joker.
The
are you kidding me?
People who are fans of comics and people who are aware of pop culture, because you know, when people in the normal world heard that Robert Downey Jr. was cast as Iron Man, they were like, Robert Downey Jr., yep. He's unreliable. Whereas
that's
the
true.
Comic world was like, oh my gosh, a brilliantly talented womanizing right. drug addict alcoholic playing Tony Stark, who is an exceedingly wealthy, brilliantly charismatic drug addict alcoholic.
Wow. It's perfect.
What are the odds of that? And when we heard that Favreau was going to direct it, we were like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. People are like, Favreau, he's never going to make a good movie. And you have to just trust the nerd core that we know what's right for the
nerd
core.
And the nerds were down with Heath Ledger from the beginning.
The second we heard Heath Ledger was cast, everybody was like, oh my gosh, that guy's going to be great. Because he's such a great actor. And you trust him to put a legitimately authentic spin on the character, which is exactly what he did. Nolan took, you know, the concept of Batman, which in the comics is just a dude who wears a costume to freak people out and gets beat up by superpowered villains. He's just a guy in a suit, and made it about that guy, a guy who is dark enough to have that drive to live this life, to make himself the villain, to keep the city safe. And, you know, the Joker, in The Killing Joke, in Arkham Asylum, in any of the stories that have been told about the Joker, he's this guy. He's a sociopathic, you know,
sociopath. That's what's different about him.
Right. He's not a novelty. He's not painting, you know, busts in a museum with green and purple paint while singing Bat Dance. If that's the quintessential Joker, then you guys can keep it. Everybody loved the Cesar Romero with the Adam West, and this is the Batman I've always wanted. It doesn't disappoint, guys.
And I didn't know going into it that he was going to be that good, and I thought, wow, they must be highlighting it so much because he already passed away. Unfortunately, they're trying to capitalize. But then when I saw him in it, I was like,
exceeds your expectations of what's possible with that role.
It should be celebrated too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of grief surrounding his death because everyone loves him, and he's such a tremendous actor, and it was such a bizarre and tragic loss. But, you know, the fever that's been being made about this performance is warranted. And if this is the tribute that he's left with, it's very fitting. It's a perfect summation of what he's capable of.
You're absolutely right. And it's interesting that you were talking about Silence of the Lambs a minute ago, because you have to put Heath Ledger's Joker up there along with the Silence of the Lambs guy as one of the great movie villains of all time. Really do.
I completely agree.
Just captivating.
This weekend is Comic-Con San Diego Convention Center. Seth will be there at 3:30 in Ballroom 20 talking about Family Guy. Then at 6:15 on Friday, he's going to be in Room 6B talking about Robot Chicken. And then on Saturday at 3 o'clock, he's going to be talking about his new cartoon. Comic book.
Oh, the comic. Yeah, The Freshman. We have two graphic novels available online or in stores.
You're doing 700 things. I always feel worse about myself after you leave.
I do too. In fact, we're not going to invite you back anymore, Seth.
I kick. I live the life, eating crab, watching bitches shake the things all night.
Robot Chicken Star Wars is available on DVD. Seth will throw you a party if you will just buy a million of them.
Well, personally. I'm saying, like, you collectively. The public purchase a million copies this week, and K-Rock and I will throw a party.
If he just buys a million? Because we could probably
Yeah, if
Kevin
you individually buy it, I'll still throw a party, but there's only going to be one attendee. And maybe all the girls from the Double December contest.
Well, there you go. That's a good plan. Thank you, Seth. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, guys.
Break out with intense taste of Blue Diamond Almonds bold flavors, wasabi and soy, Maui onion and garlic, and lime and chili. Traffic will never be this boring again. Dare you to try a can a week. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Doesn't Kevin live on nuts? Is he like a squirrel down there? That's his whole diet?
He never eats the nuts that he brings in.
He brings them.
I bring him into snack on, and then everybody steals them.
And we
he
eat
has
them
like
all.
Two nuts. And, well, he has two
I
nuts.
I do have
well,
two nuts, actually.
Of course. And then all the girls just go crazy for his nuts.
That happens.
And all they do is just eat his nuts all day long and say, oh, how good his nuts are, and they just devour his nuts.
That's what happens.
Casey said, you
are. We have a new employee with her finger on the delay button who doesn't quite know how to handle this conversation.
We're talking about peanuts.
Cashews.
What's wrong with
you know, other trail mix type.
Talking about
things.
Peanuts? Is that what
Dirty
you said,
minds.
Kevin?
What's wrong with you people?
Peanuts, right? Is that what you said? Is that the word?
Cashews.
Okay, I just
want to
make sure I heard it right.
Okay. That's yes.
All right, it's 8:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Whatever.
What's wrong?
What
just,
now?
Just pissed.
At.
You
for
everything
because
you're talking to Seth Green.
Yeah.
Oh, Comic-Con's gonna be so much fun. Oh, Comic-Con, we're having tomorrow. Having Kevin Smith in for Comic-Con. I can't go to Comic-Con this weekend.
But you're going to Vegas. I thought
I am.
Well,
I know.
That's a good alternative.
Not on Comic-Con weekend.
You're gonna miss being there.
Yes.
You'd rather go to Comic-Con than Vegas.
Yes.
Because you can go to Vegas next weekend.
Exactly.
That's why Comic-Con's once a year.
But the problem is my best friend who lives in New York now. Gets very little time off from work. He's doing a show on Broadway.
Right.
He's got a small window of vacation. And so he's got a new girlfriend, and he wants my wife and I to meet her and stuff. So he said, let's meet up in Vegas the weekend of the 26th or whatever it is in July. And I said, oh, great, yeah, we haven't seen each other in forever. And then after we made all these arrangements, I realized it's Comic-Con weekend.
So you call and tell him you're sick.
I can't do that. I mean, I might not see him for another year.
Oh.
Although, Kevin's first thought is lie to your friends. I mean, that's
sure,
really
that's
where he starts at.
That's where you begin.
But it wasn't bad enough. You know, I love Comic-Con, and Seth's going to be there, and Kevin Smith's going to be there. But then I find out that the Hot Wheels booth at Comic-Con,
is unveiling their brand new 150th die-cast toy of the original 1966 Batgirl cycle. The Batgirl cycle.
Queer.
I'm not talking about the Batmobile, which has already been released in several
formats. You're the king of geeks.
And they've got the Batcycle, which was cool enough. But now they're getting the Batgirl cycle, which you can't find in toy form anywhere, ever. Not in 1966. The Batgirl cycle.
No one is that excited about it.
I am.
You're playing the role of a guy who would be that excited about it.
I am excited.
If he was that dorky.
And it's only going to be available at the CDCC. And I will not be there to get my Batgirl cycle.
Homo? Okay.
Here's what I'd like people to do that are listening and are going to Comic-Con. Get that and mail a picture of it to Ralph.
And just don't let him have me.
It. You mock him. Yeah.
Play me a little girl the Batgirl theme.
Batgirl! This is what she was playing when she was driving. Batgirl! Where do you come from? Where do you go? What is your scene, baby? We just gotta know. Batgirl!
What?
That is a really bad song.
Oh, it's the best.
And by the best, you mean horrible.
Are you a chick who flew in from outer space, or are you real with a tender, warm embrace? Batgirl, Batgirl.
Come on, Ralph, don't embarrass me.
The Batgirl cycle had lace all around the front of it and stuff. It was in purple.
Oh, you need to hang out with Roland. I think you two would get along really well.
Batgirl cycle.
The children are right to laugh at you, Ralph.
Missing out on all the Hot Wheels fun.
You're just a dork.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
And they're going to have all the new toys from the Dark Knight in Hot Wheel format.
Dear
the
God.
Bat Pod. How cool was that motorcycle he rode?
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Go up walls and turn around. That's what I need. One of those.
That's what you need.
Speaking of Batman, Christian Bale busted for allegedly roughing up his mom and sister, if you believe the reports from TMZ.com.
Dude, that's rough.
Someone wrote me an email with this story, which I've received, thanks. It said, holy mother puncher, Batman. apparently there was some sort of altercation the night before the London premiere of The Dark Knight, and his mom and sister went to police, and they have taken Christian into custody to discuss things with him, because apparently that's what the British police do anytime there's any trouble.
They discuss?
They discuss, and then they release. It's a catch-and-release program, much like fishing.
Has he been released?
Criminals in the UK. No, not yet.
Okay.
But I will we'll know more about it tomorrow, I'm sure. But just bad news for Christian Bale.
Selkin.
It is. Because he's a crime fighter, and then the police take him in. Although, you know, the police aren't looking for him now.
That's true.
After what happened in Dark Knight.
Don't give anything away.
I'm not giving anything away. I'm just saying. They are looking for him. All right, let's talk about new things in stores, shall we? Because it's Tuesday.
That's a pretty broad category.
I'll take new things in stores, Alex. Right, shoes?
Let's narrow it down to CDs and DVDs.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right.
New Nine Inch Nails today.
Yep.
The Slip, new CD.
This is the one that you were able to download about 3 months ago, something like that?
And now you can get it in the nifty CD form.
That's correct.
One Day as a Lion by One Day as a Lion. That's Zach's new project, Zach De La Roca.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Breakout, the new Miley Cyrus CD available today as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I heard she writes songs now on it.
Thank God.
She does. And this is her first CD put out without any mention of the Hannah Montana alter ego. This is all real live Miley.
Yeah, she's got to get rid of that. She's too big for that now. She's casting aside that whole Hannah Montana
15,
thing.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Already she's disgruntled with her career at 15, just the biggest star in the world.
God.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Speaking of Miley Cyrus, how would you like to win a date with Miley Cyrus? Yeah, I wouldn't put a Rodney drop in there. No, that wouldn't be a good idea. She's got her own charity called the Pappy Cyrus Foundation.
Gotta check that out.
And apparently she is auctioning off lots of Miley goodies to raise some cash for the charity.
Giddy up.
Fox News reports that she'll be selling some of her clothing that she's worn. You can get the outfit she wore to the premiere of High School Musical 2.
Yeah.
As well as the Teen Vogue Awards.
So glad you dig me.
So, not only can you win her clothing and make soup out of it, if you're so inclined,
ooh,
or you can be her date to the upcoming movie premiere of a movie called Bolt, which I have no idea what it is. But
I drink your milkshake.
Get to go with Miley. If you want to.
No, thanks.
Apparently, Lindsay Lohan, Lily Lohan's girlfriend is having quite an effect on her.
Yeah.
All our friends say, no, it's a real deal. It's a genuine relationship.
Okay.
But Samantha Ronson, her DJ girlfriend, has helped Lindsay kick an addiction.
Penis?
An addiction.
No, penis, yeah. But also self-tanning creams.
Self-tanning creams.
Apparently, Lindsay was known to slather on the self-tanner because she always wanted to look bronzed. Mm-hmm. But Samantha likes her pale, lustrous, porcelain skin.
Okay. So and she's not doing that
so anymore. So she is not, and she says she's pale and proud.
Hmm.
I think Kevin and I can certainly relate.
Yeah.
We're pale and proud.
I hate to sound like Kevin for a moment here because I do believe that ugly people deserve love in relationships also. But it shatters what I was hoping for in my mind with Lindsay Lohan in a lesbian relationship. It's nothing. It's so dissatisfying to see her with Samantha Ronson.
Yeah. It's like, look, if you want to be with a dude, just be with a dude, Lindsay.
Right.
Don't be with a man dude. Don't hook up with a manster DJ. Just get a guy.
So you guys are saying the outward appearance is all that matters. That's what you're saying.
When it comes to lesbian sex, we want attractive women.
Yeah, if Lindsay's gonna go down that path with somebody hot. That's all we're saying.
Going down the path? Is that what they're calling it these days? The kids?
It's a euphemism.
Lindsay! 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 Lindsay Lohan!
I remember earlier today I was talking about the fact that some people are being a little picky and about the fact that Dark Knight was the record-breaking biggest box office movie ever.
Yeah, they wanted the figures adjusted for Spider-Man Day's dollars, right?
No, actually, Spider-Man 3 is still the champ because it was less expensive to go to the movies back then, so if you adjust for inflation, it still was the biggest movie.
Wasn't it a year ago?
Yeah. Anyway, we did a little research, and thanks to listener Molly who sent this in. She sent me a list of movies with their ticket sales adjusted for inflation.
Okay.
So let's say Dark Knight made, what, $158 million in one weekend?
Yep. Right.
Right.
Here's the thing. Gone with the Wind, in its run, I made a joke, said Gone with the Wind's probably the biggest box office. And it's just its domestic run. It made $1.3 billion if you adjusted for inflation.
My God.
But not the first weekend. You mean its whole run.
Its whole domestic run, yeah. So, I mean, what's Dark Knight going to make? Maybe $500,000?
Probably, easily.
So, if you are adjusting for inflation, there's a lot of movies that come before Spider-Man 3. I'm just saying. Gone with the Wind, $1.3 billion in ticket sales.
That is a long, 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 long movie.
It is. It's very long.
A short movie.
It is not brief. But I'm just saying, there's a lot. Star Wars, for example, if you adjust for inflation, $1.2 billion in sales.
$1 billion of that came from Bean.
That's true, yes. If you adjust Bean for inflation, which I think we should. But it used to be, also, when these movies came out, a movie would be in the theaters for like 8 months.
And that's
maybe a year.
Yeah.
Now with DVD, it's in movies for 3 weeks, and then it goes right to DVD a couple months later. But it used to be there was none, so they'd leave it in a theater for like a year. You could go to see Gone with the Wind anytime within a year and go see it.
And it's also really not fair to compare just in the movie theater, because so many movies make more money on DVD. They even become bigger as a result of DVD sales.
Absolutely true.
And rentals.
I'm just trying to give you a little perspective, man. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for perspective.
So it's the guy who's super excited about
the bat cycle. The Batgirl cycle.
Dear God.
Batgirl cycle. You should see it. It's got like frilly lace around the front window where she looks through.
Oh,
and it's purple with a yellow gold bat on the side.
We got to move along.
Oh, it's so hot. Yvonne Craig.
You never cease to amaze me with your constant need for attention.
She would drive it everywhere.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
All right.
Hey, I got tickets to give away, don't I?
You do.
Oh, I should have done that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still have time. Just do it
okay.
Quick.
Screening. Step Brothers. John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell, Thursday night, the advanced K-Rock screening. Get to see it before everyone else does when the movie opens on Friday. If you'd like to go, here's the trivia question, okay? When Ricky Bobby, Will Ferrell's character, Ricky Bobby, lost all of his endorsements, remember when he became a loser on the track?
Right.
When he came back, how did he decorate his car? He no longer had Wonder Bread and Old Spice and all the sponsors stickers all over his car. What did he use to decorate his car when he came back as a driver on the NASCAR circuit? 1-800-520-1067. If you can tell me how Ricky Bobby decorated his car. First two callers. I've got two pairs to give away. First two callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. We've got a pair of tickets to the advanced K-Rock screening of Step Brothers. Today's celebrity birthday is John Leguizamo. Very talented fella. He is 44 years old today. Actor-comedian David Spade is 44. How does 44-year-old David Spade continue to score insane punani?
Don't have the answer to that.
Just smoking hot chicks.
Don't have the answer to that.
Willem Dafoe is 53 years old today. Actor, comedian, director Albert Brooks is 61 years old. Danny Glover, also 61. He, of course, from Lethal Weapon and other movies. Don Henley, Very popular solo artist, as well as being one of the driving forces behind the Eagles, one of the best-selling bands in history.
Yep.
He is 61. I think their greatest hits albums, 1 and 2, are still on the charts.
They are. It's crazy.
After 30 years. He's 61. And game show host Alex Trebek, of course, from Jeopardy, turned 68 years old today. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. Yes. Just now. Alex in Palos Verdes. Hi.
How's it going?
Hey, good. Alex. How did Ricky Bobby decorate his car when he came back to the racetrack?
He did it with a cougar on the front, and his only sponsor was me, M-E.
That's right. He had a cougar on it. It was me. Because I'm racing for me. It's just for me. Congratulations. Yeah. You won a pair of tickets to see the advanced K-Rock screening of Step Brothers on Thursday night.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Thank you, man.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Our friend Seth Green was here last hour talking about Robot Chicken, Star Wars on DVD, available everywhere for sale today. And that's the prize on this morning's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067.
George Bush as a Jedi, by the way, is hilarious. It's awesome.
All right, let's begin with Brandon, who is calling from Calabasas. Good morning, Brandon.
What it do, party people?
What it do?
What it do?
Is it just me, or does it seem like we're finally getting to material on the show Weeds that was post the writer's strike? It seemed like it was so terrible before the last couple weeks, so it's really picking up. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, we watch Weeds regularly. You mean the beginning of this season you didn't like the first episodes?
No, it was terrible. Like, man, it just seemed like they were trying to buy time. Like, it was bad. It seemed like nothing happened. Like,
I didn't think it was terrible at all.
I didn't either, but I think it is getting better.
It's getting much better.
I think they're picking up steam, but
before I found myself drinking, you know, before the episode to numb the pain, and now it's just a pre-party.
Not sure.
in the show's defense, you know, there was a little bit of getting up to speed because they moved the family and they had to kind of set up the new environment and some of the new characters and stuff like that. So I think there is a little bit of exposition, but you're right. It's a terrific show and it is getting better. And this, I can't wait to see what, I mean, I haven't seen last night's yet, but I can't wait to find out more of what's going on with that thing in the basement.
I thought this season was weaker than the
Did
others.
You?
Yeah. It just smacked of stuntism to me, the way they had her burn the house down and then move to Mexico and everything. It just seemed like they were, it was sort of interesting, I think, more so when she was in that suburban community, sort of being who she was. I thought it was a little more quirky.
Now that she's an international terrorist,
yeah,
you're not as big a fan.
Out there for me now.
All right, let's go to Angel in Roland Heights. Good morning, Angel.
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
I had a question for Ralph. I wanted to ask him, does he think that with the recent success of the new Batman movie, if Adam West will ever be able to get a star now?
I don't know, Angel. Thing is that I do think Warner Brothers would like Batman, Adam West's Batman, to sort of go away and no one think about it, because they want to have their current stamp on the character be the only one that people think of. So I think there may be some truth to that, that they want to focus more on the current Batman as opposed to Adams. But
they're not the ones that do the stars, right? I mean, it's the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce.
But the studios have a lot of influence over those decisions, I think. I mean, somehow Tinkerbell got a star this year, and it just so happens that Disney happens to be putting out a feature-length Tinkerbell movie.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe there is some say-so from the studios in terms of having clout with who gets what.
I got you.
I overheard Doc on The Rock on the news saying that they're going to start sponsoring stars now, and what did you think about that?
I think it's been going on for some time already. It seems like whenever an actor has a big movie or something coming out, it just happens to coincide with them getting a star on the Walk of Fame at the same time.
Yeah, it's expensive. I mean, it's
like $25,000
for every single person that gets a star. So somebody usually has to pay that.
Yeah.
Are you really overhearing Doc if he's broadcasting on the radio?
Well,
he was trying not to.
We all try not to. Sometimes it just leaks.
That's
in.
A good question. He's trying not to pay attention.
I agree with you, Ralph, but I also think it's a shame, especially when you've got a character like Batman that has been popular for 75 years. Almost literally, right? It's a shame to not embrace some of the history of that character, and I don't think it hurts the new franchise to also let Mr. West be honored for the work he did in the 60s.
Especially that when he's the guy who's largely responsible for making that character as possible as it's been over the past 40 years. I mean, prior to that series becoming a smash hit, the comic book was close to cancellation. I mean, sales for the comic book, the Batman comic book prior to the TV series, were at an all-time low. And the series really brought the character back into national popularity. So you certainly owe the guy something for keeping it alive, you know?
Let's go to caller with no name on line two. Speaking of Batman, you're going to be very excited by this one, I think, Ralph. Hi, caller with no name.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. How you doing?
We are good. Thank you.
All right. What it do? Check this out. This is a request for Ralph.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to Comic-Con.
And
I wanted, to know if Ralph wanted me to get him anything within my budget, of course.
Yeah, I don't know what the Batgirl cycles are going to be going for, so I'm hesitant to ask anyone to pick one up for me because I know like they had a limited edition Batmobile last year. It was going for like $300 or
something. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For a toy?
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I appreciate the offer. I'm getting a lot of offers from people who are trying to help me out with this, so I think I'm taken care of. Hopefully I'll be taken care of, but thanks for the offer.
All right, well, one thing for sure is I'll send you a picture of it once I see it over there.
Very cool. You're a nice guy, Marcos.
That's very kind of you, Marcos. I appreciate that.
I will pay you more than he was going to pay you to not send him anything.
Oh, come on!
How dare you?
That girl!
Ralph! That'll be on eBay Monday, right? A lot of people are going to be buying those and selling them, I would imagine.
Yeah, but like I said, the Batmobile, the limited edition Batmobile last year was $300 if you bought it at the Hot Wheels booth.
Right.
And on eBay, they were going for like $500 and $600 a pop because they were hard to get.
All right, let's close on line three. David in Whittier on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, David, what it do?
What it do, guys?
What's going on?
I saw Rodney on the Rock last night at Cantor's, and it was the most horrifying experience of my life.
How dare you? He is a good-looking man.
He looks like he died a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. And he was with three guys from probably a band who had the same exact hairdo.
Oh.
Drama Queen.
The Monkees?
He was hanging out with the Monkees, yeah.
Could have been. Did you talk to Rodney at all?
I was honestly horrified. I thought he was going to steal my soul.
Why are you mean to him?
Steal his soul?
He thought he was going to steal my soul.
Talk to him because you can give him a heart attack if you talk to him.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story about the guy who was trying to return his sunglasses?
To Rodney's sunglasses?
Yeah. No. Guy was at Rock and Roll Benny's. Rodney was having lunch there and left his sunglasses behind. And the guy saw him, knew Rodney from K-Rock, picked up the sunglasses and followed him outside trying to give him his sunglasses back.
Right?
Rodney started to run away from him and scream for help.
Oh, no.
He thought the guy was trying to attack him.
Well, maybe he did the right thing by not saying hi.
Yeah. He spooks easily is what we're saying.
Thank you, David.
Rodney, any comment on David at Cantor's last night?
What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you were out there.
That's true.
And we love you. And we love Cantor's. Go to Cantor's every night.
I know you
my
do.
My favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
But you still like them, though. Okay. I think we already thanked our friend Seth Green for coming in today. Robot Chicken Star Wars, available on DVD today. And, of course, coming back with new episodes on the Cartoon Network at the end of August. And if you're going to Comic-Con, please look for him. He's on virtually every panel this weekend, so you can't miss Seth.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. What are Spencer and Heidi doing in Iraq?
Dying, I hope. Getting shot.
Things your girl did because Oprah told her to.
Oh.
That's not good. Kevin Smith will be here.
Great.
Talking about Comic-Con and other things.
He could probably afford the Bat appliance for you there.
He could probably afford the real Batgirl cycle.
The Bat appliance?
Maybe, he's the guy.
It's not a dishwasher.
I couldn't remember if it was a blender or what it was.
It's not a blender, no.
All right, whatever it is.
Can do that again. Man, I hate the 90s.
Sorry, I forgot we had that. Survivor Man, Les Stroud, will be in the studio tomorrow talking about Shark Week.
Survivor Man, he's a superhero going to be at the Comic-Con this weekend, too.
I don't think it's the same thing. Probably not. And all week long, we got your free tickets to see Project Revolution, Radiohead, Beck, Jack Johnson, Nine Inch Nails, Warped Tour, and Rackin' Tours. We'll have more tickets tomorrow morning.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas and Kwanzaa and all the holidays in Taiwan.
All right, Rodney. Thank you. Cat Corbett's next. 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock Inside the Fire is new from Disturbed. Also some Sublime, White Stripes, Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, and more all coming up on K-Rock.